the duck.
Odyssey Windows is the most affordable replacement window you can buy. O-D-Y-S-S-E-Y. Odyssey Windows. Save as much as 45% on your energy bill every month. I'm Jeff Kingery, and I recommend you check it out for yourself at odysseywindows.com or call for a free home demonstration. 303-445-0578.
O-D-Y-S-S-E-Y.
Jay Marvin, Al Franken, Ed Schultz, Andy Rose, The Majority Report, and Mike Malloy. Your progressive station.
KKCN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder.
Round two of questions for Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito begins in 90 minutes. CBS's Barry Vagnato says we can expect to hear more about abortion and secret spying.
Alito is providing assurances.
Nobody in this country is above the law.
But few specifics on whether President Bush's secret domestic spying program is legal or whether it was correct for the Supreme Court to decide the 2000 presidential election.
I really don't know. I have not studied it in the way I would study a case.
Although there's still another long day of questioning ahead, Alito appears to be in good shape for confirmation, perhaps as early as next week. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Well, most drivers don't get all the MPGs they were promised on their car's window sticker. The federal EPA knows that, and it's changing the way mileage estimates are calculated to make them more realistic. The result will be estimates that are 5 to 30% lower. But some drivers just don't seem to care.
Honestly, I don't know. I just fill it up when it's empty, and that's it, man. I drive to work.
Now, this woman says her car is delivering all the mileage she expected.
I don't have a need for changes. It doesn't mean that there isn't a need for changes.
And the changes will start with the 2008 model year. Motorcycle accident Sunday left California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger with a fat lip and some egg on his face. CBS's Steve Futterman has that.
Los Angeles police say the governor was technically breaking the law. Schwarzenegger does not have the necessary endorsement on his driver's license, which is required if you want to ride a motorcycle. Police did not cite the governor, but the matter has now been turned over to the city attorney's office, which will determine whether he should be cited.
Now, the governor and his 12-year-old son were cut up when they hit a car that was backing out of a driveway. A Santa Barbara woman has been charged with neglecting three of her adopted children and locking them in tiny rooms. Eric Rainey's with the Sheriff's Department.
All of them had clothing that was soiled and urine and feces as well. We found evidence that they were kept on minimal diets of bread, water, peanut butter, things of that nature.
The abused children were 6, 9, and 13 years old. A fourth child appeared to be healthy. San Francisco police say the man picked up on suspicion of planting a bomb in a Starbucks coffee shop restroom was apparently acting on his own.
There's no indication that he belonged to any terrorist group or any activist group or anything along that line.
Sergeant Neville Gitton says the bomb could have killed someone if it had gone off. Something went bang in the night inside a Glen Rock, Pennsylvania adhesives plant, triggering a spectacular fire. Residents within 3 miles of the factory were warned to stay indoors. Company official George Kramer says no one was hurt.
There was really no confusion, and people were where they were supposed to be, and we were able to get a head count very quickly to assure that we didn't have any casualties or any injuries.
The cause of that explosion and fire is under investigation. And ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street, S&P futures are about a point higher. This is CBS News.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. If you're in the market for a solitaire, engagement ring, anniversary, or investment diamond, then shop around, get the best price, and then dial a diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Empire will advise you on size, shapes, and values. They'll sell you diamonds directly from the source without a middleman's markup. These diamonds are guaranteed to be priced at half the retail price. A diamond certification by the Gemological Institute of America will be faxed or mailed to you. For qualified buyers, your diamond will be sent to your home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection. Upon your satisfaction, you then pay for your purchase and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. Empire Diamond, located in the Empire State Building for over half a century, guarantees the lowest-priced diamonds, 10-day free inspection, and money-back guarantee. Save over half on your diamonds. Call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Visit us at dialadiamond.com.
The Men's Warehouse Winter Sale is on now. Save up to 50% on select styles.
AM 760. Progressive traffic.
Oh, we are seeing some trouble this morning right around Rocky Flats. Highway 93 shut down between Highway 72 and 128. And Highway 72 actually closed from Blue Mountain Drive over to 93. That's because of this wildfire burning. Lots of emergency crews are on scene with that this morning. Other than that, though, we're doing okay. I-25, C-470, and 6th Avenue all checking clear, pushing top speeds in both directions to I-70, between Region of Bora and around town. Things still pretty quiet on Foothills Parkway in the Diagonal, Arapahoe, Belmont, South Boulder Road are in great shape, and we're trouble-free on the Turnpike. Checking the forecast, expect to miss the sudden cut.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn about their world, so follow their lead. Take everyday moments like sorting laundry, shopping, waiting for the bus, and turn them into learning moments. For more information, visit bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Need something to complete your indoor game room? Then go to milehighmarket.com and get a multi-game table with poker, blackjack, and bumper pool all in one. Or do you need prime seating to watch all of the upcoming sports action? Then check out the iJoy robotic massage chair. If you're a workout buff, then the New Balance recumbent exercise bike is for you. All this and more is available at milehighmarket.com. Buy today and receive an extra 5% off and free shipping to your door. Milehighmarket.com, powered by Gately's.
Are you worried about your cholesterol or blood pressure? What about your joints? With all the news lately, what should you do? Well, have you considered omega-3 fish oil? Millions already have because it's safe, natural, and it really works. Fish oil is proven to support healthy triglycerides and blood pressure. And now new research reveals powerful benefits for joints, wrinkled skin, even focus and concentration. If this sounds like you, we can help. We want to rush you a free bottle of Purity's Advanced Omega-3. Simply call 1-800-771-7544 and ask for your free bottle. We know that once you experience our omega-3, you'll become a loyal fish oil customer. With three times the power of ordinary fish oil capsules, our omega-3 delivers better and faster results. It's doctor-recommended, purified, and mercury-free. So what are you waiting for? Call 1-800-771-7544 for your free bottle and experience the miracle of fish oil. That's 1-800-771-7544.
Justinian feared to make peace. He took matters into his own hands. He boldly disengaged from Gaza. In doing so, he gave the Palestinians their first chance in history to govern themselves. Tragically, early signs aren't promising. When Sharon suffered his stroke last week, Israel's maturity as a democratic nation was again revealed. There was a smooth transfer of power, a unique feat by Middle East standards. To learn more, visit AJC.org. This is David Harris of the American Jewish Committee.
The first round of the Alito hearings were not the Australian tag team wrestling match some had predicted. Democrats did not gang up on Alito. They treated him politely and respectfully. Senator Joe Biden.
I think you're a man of integrity. The question is, sometimes some of the things you've said and done puzzle, at least puzzle me.
Senator Charles Schumer asked Alito about a letter he wrote in 1985 saying he did not believe the Constitution granted women a right to abortion. But on that subject, Alito would only say,
asking about the issue of abortion has to do with the interpretation of certain provisions of the Constitution.
And when pressed on that by Senator Arlen Specter,
I would approach the question with an open mind, and I would listen to the arguments.
So you would approach it with an open mind, notwithstanding your 1985 statement?
Absolutely, Senator.
Senator Ted Kennedy said he was concerned about presidential powers.
Judge, we must know whether you can be a justice who understands how to strike that proper balance between protecting our liberties and protecting our security, a justice who will check even the President of the United States when he's gone too far.
So Senator Charles Grassley asked Alito directly,
do you believe that the President of the United States is above the law and the Constitution?
Nobody in this country is above the law, and that includes the President.
When round one was over, Republicans seemed quite pleased with Alito. Not so the Democrats, especially Charles Schumer.
We have not heard specific, concrete answers on Judge Alito's views on any of the major issues.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
You're now seeing live pictures of a lunar module.
Here they are all the way from Liverpool.
There are thousands marching on Washington as
a generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477. Ameriprise Financial Services, number NASD and SIPC.
The Osgood File, January 11th, 2006.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Good morning. 6:09, 9 minutes after 6 o'clock. Jay Marvin here, AM 760, Progressive Talk. High today around 61, and thanks to Carl Jeffers for sitting in for me yesterday morning. I'm back. And they finally figured out what's going on, why this thing, this cold and this cough and everything else has lasted for like almost 2 months. I have some kind of an infection. So my doc gave me a really strong antibiotic, and I've been taking it, and I feel a little bit better. Even though I still sound kind of...
You sound a little plugged up still, but no, I can tell you're feeling better. You're not coughing like you have been.
Yeah. So I'm feeling a little bit better. All right, enough of my medical report here on the low
power. Day number 96
hour.
Of the cold of 2005.
Yeah, now into 2006. On the low power hour here on AM 760, Progressive Talk. So because we don't reach full power, the signal doesn't come up until sunrise, which I think sunrise this morning is at about 7:20 or 7:15. So that would put it the low power hour in 20 minutes here this morning. And there's a lot to talk about this morning, as there is every morning, and we're going to have Lawrence Corbon coming up at 6:30 for the Center for American Progress, and he was the Assistant Secretary of Defense under Bill Clinton, I believe. Let me look at his complete, Senior Center for American Progress, Senior Fellow Lawrence Corb. Corb is the author of several books and served as Assistant Secretary of Defense, Manpower, Reserve Affairs, and Installations and Logistics. From 1981 through 85, in that position, he administered about 70% of the defense budget. For his service in that position, he was awarded the Department of Defense Medal for Distinguished Public Service. Bush, and this was overshadowed by yesterday's Alito confirmation hearings, but Bush made another one of his, you know, I don't even know how to describe this. At least to me, another one of his infuriating speeches about Iraq, and he's going to make another one today. And, of course, once again, he appears before a friendly audience, the veterans of foreign wars, who are not going to give him any grief over basically what's going on in Iraq. And he starts pushing the same line that he has pushed before, which to me I find to be infuriating. I don't know if any of the rest of you are angry about this, but I am. And so I just want to speak out about it today. I just want to speak out about it this morning. And I'm glad to have Lawrence Corbon to do this. And Bush's whole assertion that those of us who vehemently oppose this man's policies in Iraq, that somehow we're giving aid and comfort to the enemy, and that we're unpatriotic. And that's ridiculous. That's absolute frickin' garbage. It's just wrong. And it's a time-worn tactic to lash out at your critics when you yourself have no plan and no answer on what to do in a difficult situation. And this administration seems to do this on a regular basis. I mean, it's your fault, it's my fault, because we opposed the war in Iraq, and we think that there was a war of choice, and we believe we were misled into it. And we don't see the administration taking any positive steps. And we see the administration as lying at every turn of the mile about milestones in Iraq, about the reasoning for getting in there. I mean, I could go on from A to Z. And so the administration lashes out at the media, lashes out at you and I, who oppose this. Bush says he welcomes honest critics who question the way the war is being conducted and the loyal opposition that points out what's wrong with his administration's approach. But he termed irresponsible the partisan critics who claim that we acted in Iraq because of oil, because of Israel, or that we misled the American people, as well as defeatists who refuse to see that anything is right. With that description, Bush lumped the many Democrats who have accused him of twisting pre-war intelligence with the few people, mostly outside the mainstream, who have raised the issue of oil in Israel. Bush argued that irresponsible discussion harms the morale of the troops overseas, emboldens the insurgents they are fighting, and sets a bad example for Iraqis trying to establish a democratic government. You know, BS. And this whole idea that you're giving, you know, aid and comfort to the enemy by raising all of these things, I mean, that's what you get when you live in a free society. And Democrats said Bush has no business trying to define what sort of talk is acceptable. And the Democrats are absolutely right about this. Bush said yesterday, in a free society, there's only one check on political speech, and that's the judgment of the American people, the president said to a sustained applause from a friendly audience, a gathering of the veterans of foreign wars. So I ask all Americans to hold their elected leaders to account and demand a debate that brings credit to our democracy, not comfort to our adversaries. An AP Ipso poll, which is just out, Americans, just 39% of whom approve of his handling of the war. Without specifically mentioning Democrats, the president urged campaigning politicians to conduct this debate responsibly. So the Ipso poll shows that Americans do not support what's going on in Iraq. The recent Associated Press Ipso poll found that Americans prefer Democratic control over a continued GOP majority by 49-36%. And so Bush is on the campaign swing again over Iraq. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi said loyalty demands that Democrats differ from Bush on the lack of sufficient body armor for troops and on other issues. From its inception and is continuing to this moment, the absence of open and honest debate has been one of the hallmarks of this war. And Representative Adam Schiff, who's a Democrat from California, who met with Bush recently at the White House, praised the president's recent efforts to gather differing viewpoints and welcomed the call for a more civil dialogue. But Schiff said the process must begin at the White House, which he said brought the debate down a significant notch when it attacked Representative Murtha, a respected veteran and longtime hawk. So Bush wants a responsible debate, but then the White House doesn't engage in any responsible debate itself. 303-713-7600 if you want to talk about Bush and his attitude and about this whole idea of giving aid and comfort to the enemy. And this, as I've said many times in this show, I mean, this smacks of McCarthyism. And this kind of thing was used during Vietnam and it at times during Korea. And now it's rearing its ugly head again under the Bush administration that for some reason you and I, who may oppose this war, and I certainly do, and think that it's wrong-headed, that somehow we're giving comfort to the enemy, that somehow we're serving al-Qaeda exactly what they want, or we're serving the Iraqi insurgents exactly what they want, and it's nonsense. 617, 17 minutes after 6, 303-713-7600. Four lines open during the low power hour with Jay Marvin, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
AM 760, Progressive Traffic.
Full of trouble this morning, right around Rocky Flats. Highway 93 shut down from Highway 72 over to 128, then 72 is closed from Blue Mountain Drive over to 93. That's because of this wildfire that's burning, so expect lots of emergency crews on scene. Now, other than that, actually doing okay. I-25, C-470, 6th Avenue in great shape, pushing top speeds on I-70 from Wheat Ridge over to Aurora. And around town, things still pretty quiet on Foothills Parkway in the Diagonal, Arapahoe, Belmont, South Boulder Road. They're in great shape, and the Turnpike, trouble-free right now. Under the forecast, expect a mix of sun and clouds. It's going to be warm, highs in the 60s. We're waking up to 50 degrees. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Toyota owners, keep your Toyota running great. Take advantage of your local Denver Metro Toyota Service Center's lube, oil, and filter service and receive a complimentary tire rotation and 19-point inspection, all for just $29.95. Don't miss this great deal from Toyota. Hurry, offer ends January 31st.
If you want to get your new year off to a great start, Kohl's has the solution. Kohl's Stock Up Sale, going on now. It's time to stock up and save. Stock up and save on your family's favorite denim jeans from LEI, Candy, Union Bay, Lee, and more. Stock up and save on underwear, bras, socks, and shoes for the whole family. Stock up and save on sheets, blankets, pillows, towels, and much more store-wide. Get your family and home set for the new year at Kohl's Stock Up Sale. Kohl's, expect great things.
Have you ever noticed that musty smell when you turn on your furnace? Do you have family members who suffer from allergies or respiratory problems?
Are you concerned about your heating bill this winter? Then it's a must that you call Coit today and save 30% during their air duct cleaning sale. Dirty air ducts cause your furnace to work harder and raise your energy bill. But don't worry. Coit's the world's number one cleaning professional for carpets, upholstery, draperies, tile and grout, and air ducts. And right now, the man in the shiny black van will clean out the dust, dirt, pollen, and animal dander and give you 30% off. A clean air duct is an efficient air duct. And an efficient air duct will help you save on your heating bills. With energy bills expected to go up this year, it's a must that you call Coit today. Call 1-800-4-COIT. The man in the shiny black van will give you clean, energy-efficient air ducts, guaranteed, and you'll save 30%. But Coit's 30% off air duct sale ends soon, so call 1-800-4-COIT today. That's 1-800-F-O-R-C-O-I-T. People you trust, trust Coit.
If there was ever a month to make a big change in your life, January is it. So this January, why not go really big with custom LASIK by the world-class surgeons of Spivak Vision Center, currently celebrating our 25th anniversary. In honor of this big-time celebration, we're extending our $1,000 LASIK savings. Big savings, big vision, big change. Only at Spivak Vision Center, Colorado's most trusted name in vision. So don't wait. Get out there this year with custom LASIK at Spivak Vision Center and take advantage of our 25th anniversary $1,000 LASIK savings. When it comes to vision, it doesn't get any bigger than Spivak Vision, especially with our Spivak Lifetime LASIK Commitment. And our $1,000 savings makes it that much sweeter. But don't take my word for it. Call 303-C2020 and see for yourself. That's 303-C2020 for Spivak Vision, the only way to see.
It's Jay Marvin on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Oh, yeah. Pass the large glass of orange juice. The tissue paper. And the Sudafed. 620, 20 minutes after 6, high today around 61. Jay Marvin back in the saddle again. Thank you to Carl Jeffers for filling in. Talking about, and we're going to talk to Lawrence Corp coming up on the half hour about Iraq. And Bush slamming the Democrats and slamming those of us in the opposition who think that the war is wrong and think that we ought to get out, and Bush claiming that we're giving aid and comfort to the enemy, 303-713-7600. Meanwhile, this guy's got no plan to get us out. And because of the Alito confirmation and the NSA spying story, which are two big things, Iraq has kind of, for the time being, been shoved under the carpet. And we do hear that, you know, earlier in the week, it was one of the bloodiest days in a long, long time in Iraq, and Americans are still losing their lives over there. There basically doesn't appear to be any kind of central focus on what's going on in Iraq. And I hear Bush say these things with this arrogance and this attempted intimidation. And then, you know, his right-wing partners, those in the media, and also his followers will then pick this stuff up and parrot it back. I get emails like this all the time. You're giving aid and comfort to the enemy. You're compromising American security. And we got into a discussion here, I believe it was Monday, before I was out sick, about the United States drifting towards fascism. And I maintain in this on the air here that this is not a fascist state we live in, that we're not, you know, that we're going through some dark times, that we definitely have some problems in this country, but that I really strongly believe that we'll emerge out the other side stronger and better for it. And I maintain, and I said this in answering this in numerous emails, that Bush is going to come out and Cheney is going to come out and Rumsfeld and the rest of them are going to come out on the wrong side of history. And this is going to be this guy's legacy. And, you know, I'm just as sick and tired of seeing him talk as you are. Just as sick and tired of seeing him talk. And he's going to make another speech today, and I believe it's going to be in Kentucky. And he's out there pounding this war in Iraq. Why? Because he's losing support. And more Americans are waking up, and they're realizing that what's going on here in Iraq is not right. And even though the elite hearings are going on, and the NSA spy story is big, so Iraq gets pushed off into the corner, people still know that it's going on. People still object. And the objection to this country, this administration's handling of the situation in Iraq just grows larger and larger. And the Bush administration can't control what goes on the ground there. And the Bush administration cannot, no matter how hard it tries, control public opinion. which to me is an indication that we live in a free society, a relatively free society. We live in a republic. Yeah, you can, you know, make the comment that we live in a well-managed society and that the media manages to go along and help that out. And as we talked about a lot on this show, that the media is basically lazy and lets a lot of things go and doesn't cover a lot of things. And, of course, the injury done to this country's newspaper of record through the Judy Miller affair. But for this guy to get up yesterday and to say that risking or giving comfort to our adversaries and that suffering at the ballot box in November, Democrats should watch what they say. I maintain that George W. Bush should follow his own advice, that if anybody's going to suffer at the ballot box, it's going to be the Republican Party. With an unpopular president, with all of these scandals bubbling around, with all of these things going on, people are poised to want to change in this country. And we still from this administration have no exit strategy. We still from this administration have no way to get out. This administration, if you know what, and if they do have a way to get out and if they do have an exit strategy, they basically have kept it to themselves. They haven't in any way, shape, or form shared it with you and I. If anybody out there knows what this administration's exit strategy is, other than to pull, draw down some troops later this year to help out the GOP at the ballot box, please tell me what it is. I mean, we have no outlined withdrawal plan. And the administration keeps parroting the same stuff over and over again about stay the course. And stay the course just means more people getting killed. That's what it means, more Americans being killed. And, you know, I saw an article in Alexander Colburn's publication, Counterpunch, in which he says that you could make the case that 100,000 Iraqis have died due to the violence, over 100,000. And I remember once when I was sitting in the Springer show and somebody called and quoted that figure to me, I was shocked. Why? Because mainstream media never covers this. 100,000 Iraqis dead. And for what? For what? Granted, Saddam Hussein wasn't a great guy, and we've been over all these arguments before. But there are a lot of bad guys in the world. But 100,000 civilians dead? Over 2,000 Americans killed? So Bush can run around the country in his campaign mode, which this White House is always in his camp, always in a campaign mode. And to sit there and try to use that, you know, that old time-worn club to try to beat us down by saying, oh, you know, you're giving comfort to our adversaries. Watch what you say, or you risk giving comfort to our adversaries. Hey, you know, George W. Bush, give comfort to this. That's what I say. To me, George W. Bush is the one who's being anti-American. To me, George W. Bush lacks patriotism. I would question George W. Bush's patriotism because I would question his inability to understand what this country is about, what makes this country great, and how, you know something, we don't have to, you know, we live in a society where anybody's free to raise their hand and to raise an objection over anything they want to. And your patriotism shouldn't be challenged simply because, you know, you want to raise your hand and you want to say, hey, this isn't right. And it smacks of a very dark era in this country, which I will continuously refer back to this, which was the McCarthy era, in which people's thoughts and their beliefs were controlled by the simple phrase, well, you must be a communist. I mean, they ruined thousands of people's lives with that logic. They, you know, sent people to jail. They labeled them traitors. And this administration is the most out-of-control administration that I can think of. I think this administration is worse than Richard Nixon. And I ask you one morning here to vote on that, to who you thought was worse, if you could remember back that far, Richard Nixon or George W. Bush. And what do we have? We have NSA spying. I mean, that scandal continues to unfold. We have this, you know, this misadventure in Iraq. We have spying by the Pentagon. That continues. You know that seems to have been shoved under the rug. There's estimates out there that this war, when it's all said and done, and I'll bounce this off Larry Korb coming up here, This war, when it's all said and done, and you talk about paying for all of the American citizens, all of our soldiers, men and women who come home injured, what do you think the cost of this war ultimately is going to be? $2 trillion. $2 trillion, which is far above the White House's pre-war projections. And, you know, we should step forward and hold this White House accountable. That everything, virtually everything they told us about this turned out to be a lie. The oil would pay for it. Remember that one? Well, the oil hasn't paid for it. And who's going to end up paying for this? You and I are going to end up paying for it. We're going to end up paying for it in American lives, and we're going to end up paying for it in our tax dollars. Because all of these people, all of these soldiers, our brave men and women who end up wounded over there and come home, they're going to need treatment for years to come. Now, before the invasion, the White House was telling us that the total cost of the war, remember Lawrence Lindsay, who later got popped? Total cost of the war, $100 billion to $200 billion. And he said, Lawrence Lindsay said, that would be very, very high. 6:30 at AM 760, Progressive Talk. Coming up, Lawrence Korb will get his take on the Bush's speech yesterday and the fact that Bush is going to give one today. And if you want to chime in on this, 303-713-7600, 6:30, Progressive Traffic now at AM 760.
We are seeing some trouble around Rocky Flats, Highway 93, closed from Highway 72 over to 128, and 72 shut down from Blue Mountain Drive over to Highway 93. That's because of this wildfire burning, so probably a good idea to avoid the area, but as an alternate, you could try to take Indiana over to Highway 119. Now, on the north end of town, southbound I-25, we're filling in from 84th down to the Turnpike, then just getting word of a wreck southbound at 23rd. Expect emergency crews on their way to that. Then in Aurora, northbound 225, we're looking at brake lights from Alameda up to Colfax. Now, around town, things are starting to get busier on Foothills Parkway and the Diagonal. The Turnpike actually looking pretty good through Broomfield and Westminster. And checking out the forecast today, expected sun and clouds, a little warmer, highs in the 60s. It's already 50 degrees. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
K&H Windows is the only window and siding company in Colorado personally endorsed by Tom Martino, and they'll help you save on your heating bills. Right now, when you buy one window, you get one free. That's right, buy one, get one free. For a free in-home estimate, call 421-7100 or go to khwindows.com.
We've changed our website. Now you can hear the difference. Listen live to the new and improved AM 760 Progressive Talk.
God bless the internet.
Log on and hear the difference now.
AM760.net.
On AM 760.net.
The company corporation does not offer financial or legal advice.
Running this business is like raising a child. You nurture it, giving up your time and energy just to make sure it grows and stays healthy. But if you haven't incorporated yet, it could all disappear in an instant. Your car, your life savings, even your home. Fortunately, incorporating your business is fast and easy. Request a free guide today. Call 1-800-500-2883. 1-800-500-2883. 1-800-500-2883.
6:32, 28 minutes in front of 7 o'clock. J. Marvin here on AM 760, Progressive Talk. You know, we talk a lot about Rocky's Autos. They're good folks. We're going out to the stock show, by the way. Rockies will be out there. You can say hello to them. They've got the largest selection of clean, late-model used cars, trucks, minivans, and vans and SUVs in Colorado. And really good people working at Rockies, too. People like my friend Colby and Spanky and the Al Shear brothers, Tom and Marv, and so many others. There's over 100 dedicated employees working at Rockies Autos to deliver you the best cars at the best price with the best service. Rockies Autos, the home of clean, late-model used cars and trucks. And every automobile has thoroughly gone over before it's sold to you. And that's why every car is equipped with a worry-free protection program, a worry-free protection program for pre-owned vehicles from United Car Care, 30 days or 3,000 miles of powertrain protection. It's as simple as that. And at Rockies Autos, you'll find good people working there. And you know what? You can find out more about Rockies and their business philosophy by going to RockiesAutos.com. Plus, you can check the inventory there, too, and see if there's something you like. Rockies has been family-owned and operated since 1982, and they're open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. until 8 p.m. Check them out on the Internet at RockiesAutos.com or go by and see them at their convenient location, corner 63rd and Federal, just north of I-76, just south of Boulder Turnpike. You can't miss them. There's a huge sign out there. And when you see the over 500 vehicles on the lot, you'll know you've arrived at the right place. Rockies Autos.
Who decided the best way to lose weight was by skipping things? Like breakfast. The truth is, studies suggest that breakfast actually plays an important role in weight loss, and that the calcium and nutrients in milk make breakfast work even harder towards helping you achieve a healthy weight. And including low-fat or fat-free milk with breakfast is a great way to get closer to your goal of 24 ounces a day. Still think skipping breakfast is a good idea? 24 ounces in 24 hours. Milk your diet. Lose weight. To learn more about the science, go to 2424milk.com.
May I help you?
Yeah, it's just cold. My sinuses feel like they could explode.
Sudafed PE.
My allergies have my sinuses all stuffed up.
Sudafed PE.
Tell the man what's wrong.
My sinuses.
Sudafed PE. Sinus misery? The answer is Sudafed PE. Maximum strength relief of even your worst sinus symptoms without a prescription.
This congestion.
Sudafed PE.
Sudafed PE. Maximum strength sinus relief.
Stick in it to righties everywhere. Jay Marvin, AM 760. Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 6:34, 26 minutes in front of 7 o'clock. High today, 61. Jay Marvin on AM 760, Progressive Talk. Lawrence J. Korb is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and a senior advisor to the Center for Defense Information. Prior to joining the center, he was senior fellow and director of National Security Studies at the Council of Foreign Relations. Mr. Korb has served as Assistant Secretary of Defense from 1981 to 1985. In that position, he administered about 70% of the defense budget. For his service in that position, he was awarded the Department of Defense's Medal for Distinguished Public Service. And, Mr. Korb, welcome back to AM 760. Good to have you on.
It's nice to be with you, Jay.
All right. I was talking here the first part of this first half hour. I'm really, really, really incensed, and I'm really angry at George W. Bush's speech yesterday, inferring, and in some ways, coming right out and saying it, that those of us that don't like the direction that this country is on in Iraq, that those of us who oppose this war, that somehow we're giving aid and comfort to the enemy.
Yeah, I mean, they say, you know, this talk about patriotism is the last refuge of scoundrels. I mean, basically, that's what these young men and young women are fighting for, so that we can debate these issues. Those of us went to Vietnam, you know, thank goodness that people did speak out. We might still be there if people didn't say something.
Has this administration told us the truth about anything connected with this war?
Not too much. I mean, if you see Jerry Bremer's new book, Ambassador Paul Bremer, his official name, you know, basically he says he kept telling them you didn't have enough troops. And the president's been saying, oh, I just go along with, you know, what my military commanders say, when in fact we know, you know, from Ambassador Bremer that he and General Sanchez, who was the commander at the time, felt they did not have enough troops as early as the summer of 2003.
Now, Columbia University economist Joseph Stiglitz and Harvard lecturer Linda Bilmes, I guess is her name, has a study out that says that this war, when it's all said and done, because of the returning troops and the casualties that and the health care that they're going to need, that this war could top $2 trillion.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, Joe and his colleague have done us a good service, because it's not just the cost that you pay, you know, as you're actually conducting the war. It's these long-term costs. I mean, the good news is, because of some of the advances in medical technology, your chances of surviving if you're wounded on the battlefield are much greater than, for example, during Vietnam. But you have these horrible injuries, and we're going to have to take care of these brave young men and women for the rest of their lives, and that's a cost that has to be paid. Other costs that people don't pay attention to, I mean, you know, when the military buys things like trucks and other things, you expect them to last for about a decade. They're wearing them out in a year, and, you know, that bill's going to have to be paid when this is all over. Not to mention the extra interest we have to pay on the national debt. So you factor it all in, yeah, it's going to be, more than a trillion. I remember about 2 years ago, I happened to mention that figure. Somebody said, well, you know how much this thing is going to cost? I said, before it's all over, it could be a trillion. And, you know, they said, oh, it couldn't be. Well, you know, it looks like that almost is a lowball figure now.
Well, it gets back to the whole thing about Lawrence Lindsay telling us that, well, you know, the most it may cost would be $100, $200 billion, and that's way, way high. And now it turns out that Lawrence Lindsay and this administration, that they're not even in the ballpark on the cost of this thing.
No, in fact, the great irony is when Larry Lindsay said that, he got canned because they didn't want people to hear that. And in fact, Paul Wolfowitz, who was then the Deputy Secretary of Defense, you know, basically said, not even going to cost anything. I mean, the Iraqi oil is going to pay for it. And the head of AID, you know, said it cost maybe about $1 billion a year to reconstruct it. And you know, if anything, Lindsay was, we now know, is low, because the actual supplementals that they've passed now are about $300 billion. And again, that does not include the long-term cost that we're going to have to pay, as well as, you know, other costs. You know, for example, in order to get young people to join, particularly the Army now, you have to give them a lot more money, and you know that's another cost. I mean that you have to figure in.
6:39, 21 minutes in front of 7 o'clock here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Lawrence Korb with us, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and senior advisor to the Center for Defense Information. The last time we talked, I asked you about exit strategies. Okay, here we are again, and now we're in 2006. Has this administration got any that you know of exit strategy in mind? Any way to get us out of this?
Well, I mean, their exit strategy basically is to start taking troops out this year and claiming that they're doing it because the situation in Iraq is getting better. They're going to have more trained troops because they are getting pressure from, you know, members of their own party. But no, they don't have a strategy in the sense that they're going to say, you know, by a certain date we're going to accomplish this or that. You know, they're going, but I have no doubt in my mind that by the end of 2006, you'll have less than 100,000 troops there, and the administration will claim that that's because of the growing capabilities of the Iraqi security forces. I mean, their strategy is to get past the election and maintain control of the House of Representatives for the Republicans.
But are we making that kind of significant progress, in Iraq? I mean, on one hand, the president says yesterday, I'm paraphrasing him, about, we're making significant progress, but on the other hand, he says Americans should be ready for a tough struggle ahead. I mean, isn't that kind of contradictory?
Well, it sure is. He's trying to, you know, ensure that the public stays with him to the extent that they can and enables him to continue there. So that's why he's saying that you're making progress, because if the American people felt that, you know, that something was being accomplished, they wouldn't be as anxious to get out of there. But he also knows that, you know, all you have to do is read the newspaper and you see these horrible things that are happening. I mean, over the weekend we lost, you know, some 25 Americans were killed and, you know, hundreds of Iraqis were killed.
I don't think he reads the papers. At least he brags that he doesn't read the papers.
Well, I know. He has said that. And, you know, one of the problems that you have, and, you know, Bremer, I think, makes this point very well in his book, that he doesn't like to hear bad news. And he doesn't want people around him who tell him, you know, that things are not going the way that he thinks, and that's the worst of all possible worlds. You can agree or disagree with a policy that any president might choose, but the fact of the matter is, if he doesn't get the right information, there's no way he's going to, you know, make the best policies.
All right, if I had you look into your crystal ball, how's this all going to end, or is it ever going to end, or will we be having this conversation 3 years from now when George W. Bush is out of office?
Well, as I say, I think this year you will see a significant drawdown of American troops because, among other reasons, the Army just can't stand this pace without, you know, falling apart. I think after this year, I just don't know, you know, what this administration will do. I mean, I know what they should do. I mean, it seems to me we can stay 2 months, 2 years, or 20 years, and when we leave, the same things are going to, you know, happen. The Iraqis are going to have to make the decisions themselves, and in many ways they may, fight it out. And so the real issue is, how long do you stay and how much more do you sacrifice in terms of blood and treasure before the Iraqis have to make, you know, the decisions on their own. Remember, Iraq had an election in 1956. In 1958, they had a coup. So, you know, even after we leave, at what point, there's no guarantee that won't happen again.
So there's no end game to this. I mean, there's no graceful way to get out. The thing, I mean, there's no easy way to get out. I mean, basically, the White House would just have to stand up, declare quote-unquote victory, have the troops leave, and then whatever, let the chips fall where they may, and whatever happens, happens.
That's right. They can say, well, we did the best we could. We gave them a chance. You know, they had the elections, and, you know, that's all we, you know, accomplished. And, you know, certainly, you know, at least in the short run, things will appear to be better than, you know, when Saddam Hussein was running the country. You know, there's no guarantee about what's going to happen, you know, when you leave.
All right, one last question here. Kind of out of the area of Iraq, but really kind of not out of the area of Iraq. And your reaction to the NSA spying story that's out there. And, you know, that and the Alito has kind of pushed Iraq off the front pages, at least for
right.
a while. Your reaction, having been part of the Defense Department culture and all of that, your reaction to this NSA spy story?
Well, I think this is, you know, a real abomination. The fact of the matter is that this is not the way we're supposed to run things. We have laws and procedures in place, and we have this special court that was, you know, set up, and we should be using it. If the president felt he couldn't, he should have gone to, you know, the Congress. But the idea that after September 11th you could just do anything that you want, you know, it makes no sense at all. That's where you get tied into Alito. Is he going to be the type of judge who will, like, you know, back in 1952 when Truman seized the steel mills because he said we couldn't have a strike there because of the Korean War, the Supreme Court said, you know, you can't do that. You know, you can go to Congress and ask them to put a freeze or something, but you can't do that on your own. And it's part of a broader pattern. Ever since Bush and Cheney came in, they felt that they had to restore, you know, the power of the presidency, which in their view had been weakened going back, you know, starting after Watergate, and September 11th gave them this opportunity. And if we allow that to happen, you know, we have no protections, you know, if you don't have the system of checks and balances.
Who's worse? Who's the worst president? Worst administration? Nixon or Bush?
Well, I think this is worse. I mean, what Nixon did was terrible, and there's no doubt about it. But, I mean, he didn't do it to prosecute a war that, you know, seems to have no end. I mean, he went after his political enemies for, you know, electoral reasons, and, you know, then tried to cover it up. But, I mean, in terms of the long-term harm to the country, I think this is going to be much worse.
And Bush and Cheney will end up on the wrong side of history.
I hope so. I mean, they should be, given, you know, all that they've done and what they've, you know, they told us. I mean, you know, Cheney a couple of months ago saying the insurgency was in its last, you know, throes statements. Talking about the reasons we went to war, you know, and not really, you know, ensuring that, you know, the information they got was correct, and then giving the medals of freedom to all the people that botched things up. I mean, history will not and should not treat them kindly for that.
All right. Lawrence J. Korb, thank you so much once again for being on the program.
Okay. Anytime, Jay. Take care.
Okay. You too. Here's Lawrence J. Korb, who's with the Center for American Progress. He has been Assistant Secretary of Defense with Manpower Reserve Affairs, Installations, and Logistics. You want to comment on anything that he said? Boy, the phones have been strangely quiet during the low power hour. And, I, you know, maybe I'm the only person up this morning at 6:47, 13 minutes in front of 7 o'clock. That is just... Bush's speech yesterday just set me off. Just set me off. You know, I am so tired of being characterized as being somebody who gives aid and comfort to the enemy, and that dissent is wrong. I'm just sick of it. I really am sick of it. 303-713-8600. I got three lines open. You want to talk about this before we get into the 7 o'clock hour? Feel free to do so.
AM 760, Progressive Traffic.
But we're starting to pick up on the highway southbound I-25, filling in coming out of the north end of town from 84th Avenue down to the Turnpike. Then it opens up just for a bit, only to slow down again because of this crash sitting at 23rd. Now, in Aurora, northbound 225, slow from Alameda up to Colfax, and I-70 actually looking pretty good from Wheat Ridge over to Aurora. And around town, things are busy on Foothills Parkway, the diagonal. Turnpike looking good through Broomfield and Westminster, and the big problem right around Rocky Flats, Highway 93. Closed from Highway 72 over to 128, then 72 shut down from Blue Mountain Drive over to Highway 93. That's because of this wildfire. As an alternate, you can hop on Indiana and take that over to 119. Checking out the forecast, it's going to be warmer today. Highs in the 60s. We're at 50 degrees at the moment. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Heating bills will be outrageous this winter. Act now with Tom Martino approved energy efficient replacement windows from K&H Windows and Exteriors. Right now, buy two windows and you get one free. Call K&H now at 421-7100. That's 421-7100.
We've changed our website. Now you can hear the difference. Listen live to the new and improved AM 760 Progressive Talk.
God bless the internet.
Log on and hear the difference now.
AM760.net.
On AM760. 60.net.
Are you ready to stop smoking once and for all, or are you ready to lose weight and keep it off? Hypnotherapy is the best choice for permanent results. John Morgan Seminars presents world-renowned hypnotherapist Doug O'Brien at the Red Lion Denver Central, Quebec Street, Tuesday, January 17th. Smoking cessation is at 6 p.m., weight loss at 8 p.m. The sessions are affordable at $59.95 and come with a lifetime warranty. Call 800-735-6907 to reserve your space. That's 800-735-6907. John Morgan Seminars have helped over 100,000 people. Call 800-735-6907.
6:50, 10 minutes away from 7 o'clock, AM 760 Progressive Talk. Jay Marvin here for Icon LASIK and Skin Clinic. You know, Icon has been making LASIK affordable since 1999. Now, depending on the patient, Icon charges as little as $499 per eye. Now, no one else in the metro area can offer LASIK at this price, and Icon can because they've cut out the middleman. We sent a friend of ours to Icon. They did a great job. So don't believe the hype that only an expensive clinic can perform safe LASIK. Icon's experienced surgeons have handled tens of thousands of patients and are trained in the very best, latest state-of-the-art lasers from Nidex to Visix. Icon laser surgery that's safe and it's affordable. So if you've ever thought about getting LASIK done but you weren't sure where to start, then talk to the folks at Icon. They can help you make an informed decision to find out if LASIK surgery is right for you. Visit them on the web at icondenver.com or call to set up a consultation. 720-524-1001. That's 720-524-1001.
Remember, car insurance websites that promise multiple rate quotes can't speak for GEICO. The only place to get a real GEICO quote is at GEICO.com. Besides, it's a real nice place to visit.
PC Answers.
I'm with Spyware Anonymous, and we don't appreciate you going to people's homes and offices and cleaning out their computers. If you don't stop it, we'll come down...
Sorry, little bug. This is John Hogan with PC Answers. Don't let spyware and viruses drive you buggy. Let us exterminate them for you quickly and painlessly. Call PC Answers at 303-548-1414. That's PC Answers, 303-548-1414.
Thousands of people are online listening to this station and others with their computers right now. Find out how to get your message in front of this audience for as little as $2 a commercial. Call 303-713-8318. 303-713-8318.
This is Randy Rhodes, and I'm coming up this afternoon. And right now, you got Jay Marvin right here on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Yep, it's the low power hour here at AM 760. Boulder's Progressive Talk, 652. High today, 61. Jay Marvin with you. We talked to Lawrence Korb from the Center for American Progress, talking about Bush's speech yesterday in Iraq. And, gee, I got some phone calls. I thought I was going to have to sit here by myself for the first hour. Let me go to Dennis, who's on the Boulder Turnpike. Dennis, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
I say, what I want to talk about was if you need to determine when the war is going to end. Oh, excuse me. Sorry.
It's all right.
what you have to do is treat this like a crime and find the motivation for the invasion. And you want to take another call while I get my throat back up?
Yeah, sure. Hold on a second. We'll come back to you if time permits. Let's go to Will in Denver. Will, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Morning, Jay. I was glad to listen to your interview with your guest. There were a couple of things in the Nixon/Vietnam analogies are, especially after a couple of trends that I've seen in the news lately, which remind me of Vietnam escalation. Number one, I think one of the things that's going to happen is that Bush keeps talking about bringing the troops down, but we're already starting to see, while he's bringing troop levels down, or while he says he's going to, hasn't done it yet, we're going to start seeing an escalation in the air war. There was a story about a week ago about a family of 14 all killed in Fallujah through airstrikes, and so rather than completely withdraw, Bush is going to do the same thing Nixon did, which is basically escalate the war from the air, which means it's going to be more indiscriminate attacks in the area, and you know, on the one hand, he's going to be saying that he's bringing things down, but on the other hand, he's going to be making things worse.
Yeah, and you know what's going to be dangerous about that? Who's going to call in those airstrikes? Well, if it's the Iraqis, they're going to call in those airstrikes. What's to prevent the Shia from calling in airstrikes against the Sunnis, or the Sunnis from calling in the airstrikes against the Shia, whether they are insurgents or not?
Exactly. And the second problem I'm seeing, and you know, this got no reportage in the mainstream press, but in Germany, they're saying that the Bush administration is already gearing up to launch military strikes against Iran.
I'm going to get into that next hour. Yeah, so are the Israelis are thinking about it as well.
Yeah, which, and again, this gets back into what Nixon was doing. You know, he says he's going to bring it down in Vietnam, and at the same time, he's bombing Cambodia and Laos, and it's just more of the same. And there is no way, shape, or form our exhausted military, those guys have done a spectacular job in horrible conditions. There's no way we can do anything sustained in Iran. Not even a military strike. That's just going to demonstrate the Bush administration's lost what few marbles they had left.
All right, Will. Thanks, man. Great call. Appreciate it. All right, let's go to Jennifer in Aurora. Jennifer, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Good. Hey, I called for one other reason, but I decided to change that because of what you and your recent caller just talked about. I live out near Buckley Air Force Base, and let me tell you, there's a lot of activity out there lately. They've been just flying jets like crazy. It seems like a lot of training, because they do a lot of training out there at Buckley Air Force Base. So
right.
I'm going to have to go ahead and agree with you guys on the airstrikes. It's kind of scary, though.
It is scary, because if you try to do precision airstrikes, somebody's got to call those airstrikes in. I don't know if we should be in a position. It's not that I don't know. I do know. We should not be in a position to allow the Shia or the Sunnis or any, you know, any militia members or anything else to be calling in airstrikes as part of the Iraqi army, because you're just asking for retribution and you're asking for innocent civilians to get killed.
Yes. Oh, it's driving me crazy. I'm really tired of this whole Bush administration. I'm looking forward to the future, that's for sure.
Well, hopefully we'll have a good 06.
Maybe
we can get our acts together.
Yeah, you got that right. Oh, question. Any news about the whole wanting to drill up in Alaska for the oil?
No, Anwar seems to be pushed off the pages because of Alito, the NSA. And I, you know, last thing I heard was they're going to try to take that out. But I'll have to check on that and find out what's going on.
Oh, please do, and let us know.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Jay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Dennis. Dennis, quickly. I only got 2 minutes. Dennis?
Oh, yeah. I got
2 minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the motivation for going into war, you have to study that to determine what their intentions are. And I think I'll get to the intentions first. I've heard, and news is so mushy now, news media, that it's hard to tell what's true or not. But I've heard that they're setting up 14 permanent bases.
They deny that.
Yeah, okay. But then I guess anybody could verify this next one, that they're building the biggest embassy, U.S. embassy in the world.
Yeah, that's true. They are.
Okay. Well, why would they do that unless they wanted to govern Iraq forever?
Because they want some kind of permanent presence there. That's why.
Right, yeah. And so they're not going to leave. And the reasons are, and originally before they went in, I thought it was just oil. But actually the revenue from oil in Iraq, I think, was about $20 billion before the
All right. Well, you know, the Iraq oil situation hasn't exactly panned out, and the production is lower than it was when Saddam Hussein was in power. Thank you. I appreciate the call. I'm out of time. Coming up next, the United States, Israel, and Iran.
GOP calls him an SOB. It's Jay Marvin, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
If you have an adjustable rate mortgage, you might be taking risks with your family's biggest investment.
Homeowners, rates won't stay this low forever. Call the mortgage store today. Don't miss out on taking advantage of historic low rates.
The economy continues to improve.
And the Federal Reserve has begun to raise interest rates.
But right now, you can still lock in a low fixed rate mortgage in the fives.
The mortgage store is a direct lender, so you're guaranteed the best pricing and the best service. Here's what our customers had to say.
It was just so easy. I've never had a refinance so easy.
We closed within days and saved over $350 a month.
We approve our own loans, so even if you've had some credit problems, you can still call us today and get a great fixed rate mortgage in the fives.
Don't procrastinate. Call the mortgage store right now at 303-423-7171 and start saving money today. It's fast, it's easy, and be sure to ask about the 6 months with no payment option. Open evenings and weekends. Call now. 303-423-7171. That's 303-423-7171.
AM 760, Progressive Can CBS News. Local, national, and news from around the world. AM 760. Now, CBS News. CKCN, Morton, Denver, Boulder.
CBS News, this is Barry Bagnato live in Washington. Another long day awaits Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito. Confirmation hearing questioning resumes in a half hour. So far, he has dodged controversy on hot-button issues and has tried assuring critics he sees the judiciary as a body that places no one above the law.
One of its most important roles is to stand up and defend the rights of people when they are violated.
CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen thinks Democrats have one more day to derail Alito's confirmation.
What they really have to do, I think, is to get him to open up and to not stop asking questions when they're on the verge of getting to some candid response.
This is Barry Bagnato live in Washington. Now here's Frank Settapani.
It's their money, but the IRS won't let them have it. CBS's Peter Mayer is here to tell us what's going on.
Frank, this is a case of frozen tax returns, tens of thousands of them on hold because of an IRS clampdown on refund fraud. IRS taxpayer advocate Nina Olson found
the criminal investigation function was making determinations of criminal fraud without telling the taxpayer.
So the thousands of mostly low-income taxpayers were unaware they were suspected of tax fraud. In a report to Congress, Olson says that most did nothing wrong. The IRS defends the investigations but promises to improve communications. Live in Washington, Peter Mayer, CBS News.
The government has news for rush hour drivers trying to beat the traffic to work this morning. The way it calculates new car mileage estimates is changing. On the one hand, some estimates could be cut as much as 30%. On the other hand, drivers would know the score, says EPA Administrator Stephen Johnson.
They can be confident those estimates more closely reflect today's real-world driving experiences.
2008 models would be the first to reflect the changes. Another coal miner led in Pikeville, Kentucky this time. Chuck Wolf is with the State Office of Mine Safety.
A section of the roof inside the mine gave way and killed Cornelius Yates, who was a roof bolter.
CBS's Dan Revive is live with some new developments in the West Virginia mine disaster.
At least some of the 13 men trapped after the explosion tried to use a mechanized mine car to break their way out, but failed. That, according to relatives of the only survivor, they say mine officials told them that footprints traced the men's movements. Also, more details of safety violations in the Sago mine. Inspectors last year 16 times cited loose pieces and coal dust that could cause fires or explosions. Reporting live, Dan Revive, CBS News.
And just a precaution, officials in Arvada, Colorado insist, but they've told about 130 families to evacuate homes that could be threatened by the fast-moving wildfire that broke out last night. 40 to 60 mile an hour wind gusts are fanning the flames. And yes, it has rained in the Seattle area today, making it 24 days in a row with at least some rain. S&P futures are a point higher. This is CBS News.
Fade background distractions and enjoy your music more with Quiet Comfort 2 acoustic noise-canceling headphones from Bose. Now enhanced audio performance and styling make them better than ever. QC2 headphones were originally designed for air travel, but customers say they also enjoy using them wherever they listen to music, in the office, at home, and on the go. David Carnoy of CNET says they feel good, even luxurious, on your ears. If you love music, you owe it to yourself to try these QC2 headphones. And you can order them now by calling Bose at 800-611-1468. You'll be delighted by the acclaimed noise reduction technology. In fact, technologyreview.com says it's as if someone found the volume control for the world and turned it way, way down. And the sound? Josiah Hill of Travel and Leisure Golf says you'll think you're on stage with a band. So call 800-611-1468 to try Quiet Comfort 2 headphones risk-free for 30 days. Order by January 31st, 2006 and get a free Bose portable CD player, a $50 value, and shipping. Call 800-611-1468 and leave the noise behind.
Rocky Mountain Cyberknife. Visit RockyMountainCyberKnifeCK.com.
AM 760. Progressive traffic.
We're seeing a bunch of problems this morning. Trouble in around Rocky Flats. Highway 93 closed between Highway 72 and 128. And 72 also shut down between Blue Mountain Drive and 93. That's because of this wildfire burning. So as an alternate, probably a good idea to hop on to Indiana. Now on the north end of town, southbound I-25, seen a busy ride from 104th to the Turnpike. There were jammed solid approaching I-70. That's because of two separate accidents up to the shoulder. One at 23rd, the other one sitting at 20th. And in Aurora, northbound 225, slow go from Alameda up towards Colfax. Around town, things are busy on Foothills Parkway and the Diagonal. Crews are clearing a crash at Broadway and Baseline. And the Turnpike, a little sluggish Denver bound from Federal over to Pecos. Checking out the forecast, going to be an end today. Sunny skies, highs in the 60s. We're at 50 degrees now. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Tonight on Altitude, it's NBA action as the Denver Nuggets host the Pacers from Indiana as East meets West. Coverage begins.
Know the greatest phrase ever invented in shopping? No, it's not. I'll just wait in the car. The greatest phrase is, no thanks, I'm just looking. I mean, what freedom, what liberation, what a great way to buy car insurance. In fact, why not do some looking right now? Go to Geico.com. It's quick, it's easy, and you could save hundreds. You know, saving money looks good on you. Geico.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Quote is at Geico.com. Besides, it's a real nice place to visit.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
All right, the big debate here is at 7:05, 5 minutes after 7, with a high today of 61. Is the low power hour finished? Or is the sun up? And this radio station is at full strength. We don't know yet. 7:06, 6 minutes after 7, AM 760, Progressive Talk. Jay Marvin, good to be back. Thank you to Carl Jeffers for filling in for me. I'm almost back to normal. Or maybe for to a lot of you, I'm not normal at all. We're going to talk about Samuel Alito. We're going to do that in the 9 o'clock hour with Bruce Shapiro of The Nation magazine. One thing I did want to throw in, though, before we get started on this Iranian situation, about Alito. The Wall Street Journal, not exactly the most liberal publication on the planet, is carrying a little story in there, and it hasn't got much coverage by the mainstream media. I guess you can consider the Wall Street Journal the mainstream media, but nobody else has really picked up on this, that there is a breach in integrity in the hearings, that Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, who I believe was yesterday, all but blurted out that he was going to vote for Alito. And remember, the senators are supposed to keep an open mind while this goes on, just like Alito says he's keeping an open mind on the subject of Roe versus Wade. But they have these moot court kind of rehearsals at the White House. And you might remember hearing that Harriet Myers was doing terrible at hers. And Alito, little Nino as they call him, was going through these moot court processes and preparing to testify in front of the Senate. And guess who was helping him out? Guess who was aiding with that? Senator Lindsey Graham. So, and then he's in a position to vote on this guy. And now, is that a conflict of interest? We'll talk about that with Bruce Shapiro coming up after 9. And we do have some interesting audio of Lindsey Graham. Check this out. You got that in there?
I guess there's no rule against beating a dead horse, or we'd all have quit a long time ago. So, so in the next 30 minutes, I'm going to ask you the same questions you've been asked for a whole day. And I hope you'll understand, if any of us come before a court and we can't remember Abramoff, you will tend to believe us.
You know, that referring to Alito saying that he doesn't remember being involved with that Princeton organization that was very hostile towards women and minorities and dissent on the Princeton campus. But that's Lindsey Graham, who, by the way, was a member of the Gang of 14. So you got to ask yourself, is Graham compromised? And we'll ask that of Bruce Shapiro after 9 o'clock here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Now, this is a topic that has been long rumored in progressive circles and has long been rumored outside the mainstream press, and it's now starting to make its way into the mainstream press. This comes from the Herald, which is published in the United Kingdom. Israel plans preemptive strike on Iran. Israel is updating plans for a preemptive strike on Iran's nuclear facilities, which could be launched as soon as the end of March, according to military and intelligence sources. The news comes as Germany yesterday warned Tehran's regime that it would face consequences if it removes UN seals from portions of its atomic program and resumes enrichment of fuel, which could be diverted for military use in the breach of international agreements. And my understanding is that Iran's already done this. The Israeli raids would be carried out by long-range F-15E bombers and cruise missiles against a dozen key sites and are designed to set Tehran's weapons program back by up to 2 years. Pilots of the Israeli Air Force Elite 69 Squadron have been briefed on the plan and have conducted rehearsals for their missions. The prime targets would be the uranium enrichment plant at Natanz, 150 miles south of Tehran, and the heavy water production site at Iraq, 120 miles southwest of the capital, and a site near the Ifshan in central Iran, which makes the uranium hyfluxeroid, see, I'm really bad at these pronunciations, hyfluxeroid gas vital to the arms manufacturing process. Sources say one, possibly two airfields in the Kurdish northern Iraq have been earmarked as launch points to reduce flying time over Iran. The Iranians, meanwhile, disperse production facilities across hundreds of miles of remote countryside to make a single knockout blow more difficult. They have also ringed the sites, some of them with deep underground, with missile batteries and radar-controlled anti-aircraft guns. You know that the president of Iran, whose name nobody can pronounce correctly, Ahmadinejad or whatever, you know that he's made radical statements towards Israel, that Israel should be wiped off the face of the earth, that Israel should be moved to Europe, that the Holocaust never happened. And I could go on and on about this. Excuse me, about the statements he's made. He's not exactly, and they're not exactly, the most rational government around. Not only do they threaten Israel, but they also threaten us, too. Now, they don't have any delivery capabilities, so they're not going to be bombing Denver tomorrow. But we do have forces there in Iraq. And what would keep them from dealing nuclear technology to Islamic extremists? Because they are extreme. Now, I'm not painting a case here for us to go in and invade the country. Of course, you could step back and you could say that this administration, in all of its stupidity, if it was going to invade any place, and I think most of us supported the invasion of Afghanistan, the secondary target should have been Iran, right? Because the Iranians really pose a threat to the region. The Iranians really pose a threat to its neighbors, and could eventually pose a threat to Europe. And in dealing nuclear arms to terrorists, that could pose a threat worldwide. Anybody disagree with that? And the Iranians are not manageable. They're not going to give this thing up. I mean, sanctions, I don't think, will do anything for them. And we have warned them and warned them and warned them. And then not only us, but our allies. As I just indicated in the article, I mean, the Germans have warned them that you remove those seals, those UN seals, and you know what? You're going to suffer the consequences. And the consequences are probably going to be diplomatic isolation, and the consequences are probably going to be sanctions. Now, you could argue that we successfully, and I think we did, kept Saddam Hussein in a box with both air threats and airstrikes in southern Iraq and sanctions on him, even though the right wing likes to bash the oil for food program. But it basically kept Saddam Hussein in check. He didn't invade his neighbors. He had no nuclear weapons program. And, of course, we don't need to rehash all of the stuff going into the war, but we definitely know that the CIA, for instance, the latest story that came out last week was that the CIA recruited relatives of scientists who worked on Iraq's nuclear program, and they went home to Iraq to talk to their relatives and asked about any kind of nuclear program going on. And all of the relatives told them that Iraq had abandoned its nuclear program years ago when they came back, and they told the CIA this. The CIA said, well, you know, the CIA just ignored them. But the central question here is, what do we do about Iran? And here's the big question. This is the big one. If Israel decided on a preemptive strike against Iran's nuclear capabilities, would you support that, and do you think the United States should support that as a matter of foreign policy? Once again, if Israel decided to attack Iran, feeling that it was threatened by Iran, and decided to have a preemptive strike against Iran's nuclear facilities, would you support Israel in that? Do you think the United States should support Israel in that, or do you think we ought to condemn it? Now, imagine yourself sitting over there in Tel Aviv or sitting over there in Israel. You know your neighbor, who's pretty close to you, in the same neighborhood, is developing nuclear weapons capabilities, and they made hostile statements towards you. What would your choices be? One, try to work it out diplomatically. Two, sit and do nothing. Three, say, yeah, we read your intentions, and your intentions is that you don't like us and that you think we ought to be eliminated. So what we're going to do is we're going to try to neutralize the threat. Those would be your three choices if you were the Israelis. At least those appear to be the three choices to me. So the question is, would you support the Israelis if they decided to launch a preemptive attack? The Israelis decided to launch a preemptive attack against the Iranians. Should the United States support that move? Is that good foreign policy? Or should the Israelis rely on the workings of the UN and sanctions to try to keep the Iranians in a box? 303-713-7600. I got four lines open. It's your chance to play a foreign policy analyst. And also put yourself in the position of the Israelis in the United States and answer the question about what would you do? I mean, what would you do if a country just out and out said, you know what, we don't like you, you ought to be wiped off the face of the earth, you ought to be incinerated? What do you think the Israelis ought to do?
Amber Holmes has been building quality homes since 1998 with affordable townhomes, paired homes, and single-family homes in great areas like Inglewood, Southwest Denver, Aurora, Commerce City, Thornton, and Castle Rock. So stop throwing away money on rent and picture yourself in a new home from Amber Homes. Right now, check out Aspen Hills, a gorgeous townhome-style community conveniently located with easy access to both downtown Denver and DIA. Aspen Hills features both two- and three-bedroom floor plans. For more information, go to amberhomes.com. Amber Homes, a higher standard.
The greatest gift a dad can give his kids is something priceless: time. A message from the Fatherhood Educational Institute. Call 312-795-9060. That's 312-795-9060.
Quality, value, design, innovation, customer satisfaction, strength. At Engel Homes, it's simply better. At Engel Homes, they understand that purchasing a home is one of the biggest decisions you'll ever make. That's why they make it their mission to make this experience the best it can be. From condominiums to townhomes to gorgeous single-family homes, Engel Homes has something perfect for you.
Consider McKay Landing, Broomfield's community of choice. Nestled between McKay Lake and a golf course, McKay Landing offers a 16-acre central park area, including a rec center with a swimming pool, playing fields, tot lot and city park, daycare center, and elementary school. With townhome-style living from the upper 100s, single-family homes from the low 300s, and estate homes from the mid 400s, McKay Landing has something for everyone. Visit one of McKay Landing's 10 decorated models today. Would you like to find out more about Engle Homes? Pull up the media player and click on the banner, or visit EngleHomesColorado.com to find out more about McKay Landing. That's EngleHomesColorado.com.
Roulette table in Las Vegas, you don't know what number's going to come up, and you really don't know who to trust, and there's a lot of cynicism involved in that, and I've gone through that, and just about everybody, all of us have gone through that, so you're not sure who to trust. But I got to tell you, the people at Rocky's Autos, you know what? They're the people to trust. Why? Because they take care of you, and they make sure that you're happy. They're the home of the largest selection of clean, late-model used cars, trucks, minivans, vans, and SUVs in Colorado. Over 500 units on the lot, and they treat you right. You can find out about Rocky's business philosophy and find out about Rocky's by going to rockysautos.com and check out the inventory for yourself. See if there's something you like, and then go ahead and talk to them. And you know what? Even if you can't reach an agreement, even if you end up walking away, the people at Rocky's are not going to try to break your arms, to tackle you at the edge of the lot, to try to get you to buy something that you don't want to buy. Go out there and see my friends, the Alshear brothers, Spanky, Kobe, the gang that work out there, over 100 employees at Rocky's dedicated to making your buying experience something that you'll talk about not only to your friends, but that you'll recommend to other people that they go through. And every car is thoroughly and completely inspected. That's why they're equipped with a worry-free protection program for pre-owned vehicles from United Car Care, 30 days or 3,000 miles of powertrain protection. Rocky's Auto is open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. They've been family-owned and operated since 1982. So go to rockysautos.com and check them out or see them in person at their convenient location, corner of 63rd and Federal, just north of I-76 and just south of the Boulder Turnpike.
The Company Corporation does not offer financial or legal advice.
Running a small business is like raising a child. You nurture it, giving up your time and energy just to make sure it grows and stays healthy. But if you haven't incorporated yet, it could all disappear in an instant. Your car, your life savings, even your home. Fortunately, incorporating your business is fast and easy. Request a free guide today. Call 1-800-500-2883. 1-800-500-2883. 1-800-500-2883.
If you're sick and tired of watching your eyes get weaker and weaker every year, repeat after me. I will take a stand against my weak eyesight.
I won't use my glasses as a crutch.
And I will no longer accept stronger prescriptions year after year.
Call right now for a free video to find out how you can strengthen your eyesight using the safe, natural solution. It's called the See Clearly Method. Call 1-800-508-7100. That's 1-800-508-7100. 1-800-508-7100.
It's Jay Marvin on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 721, 21 minutes after 7. High today, 61. AM 760, Progressive Talk. Coming up after 9 o'clock, we'll discuss Samuel Alito and his and the Senator's performance yesterday. I don't know how many of you sat down and watched it. As I was homesick yesterday, I had a chance to sit there and watch a lot of it on C-SPAN. But right now we're talking about the Israelis. They have a plan for a preemptive strike on Iran. I don't know if you support that or you don't. And what would you say to the Israelis? And what should be the United States' response to this? Because, as you know, the Iranians have made hostile statements towards the Israelis. They refuse to go along with the international community as far as the development of nuclear weapons and their atomic program. The Germans yesterday warned Tehran that if they remove the UN seals from portions of their atomic program and resume enrichment of fuel, which could be diverted to military use, that breaches international agreements. But you know what? The Tehranian government doesn't seem to care. They don't seem to care one way or the other. So if you're sitting that close to them, if you're sitting in Israel, what the hell do you do? Do you try to take the nuclear program out now, or do you lean on the international community and hope that they come through? And if you're sitting in the State Department of the United States or 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue or just us in the general populace, would you support the Israelis going and doing something like this, or would you say that they have to continue to work through the international community? Now, this plan is supposed to take place or could take place at the end of March. And I'm not trying to have it both ways here. You know, on one hand, I can see where the Israelis are coming from. You know, in lieu of the Bush administration's phony information about Iraq, that Iraq was a definite threat to us, when in reality now we now find out that that's not true, that they had no delivery capabilities. And I'm not trying to paint the picture that Iran is a threat to us either. I mean, you could say that, well, they get nuclear weapons, if they sell those nuclear weapons to terrorists, suppose those terrorists try to use those nuclear weapons against us. But you know something? That's on the peripheral of the argument as far as I'm concerned. Because we don't know if that's what would happen. We don't know if that's their intentions. But this whole strike could very well happen. And the question is, would you support it or not? Do you think it's the way to go? Now, there's a significant portion of people on the left, and progressives, and some liberals, who are definitely anti-war, anti-violence at any cost. And they always say that there's always a peaceful way out of this thing, through negotiations. But the thing is, can you negotiate with people like the president of Iran, who makes irresponsible statements, particularly about Israel? So if you're sitting in Tel Aviv, what decision would you make? Would you give the international community a chance to work this out? Or would you sit there and say to yourself, well, you know what, I'm going to get them before they get me? And of course, the Bush administration thrives on that whole preemptive strike doctrine, which they use as a rationale to go into Iraq. But see, you know, this is a far different situation than we were in with Iraq. First of all, as all of us know, the intelligence was twisted. The intelligence was manipulated. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. Iraq does not sit in any kind of physical proximity to the United States of America. So therefore, this administration's claims about how they could, could come get us, how there would be a mushroom cloud and the smoking gun and all of those arguments that we heard for months in a run-up to the war, that doesn't apply in this case, and it doesn't apply with the Iranians in this case. Now, I, for one, think the United States should deal with it diplomatically, but we should not get involved. The Israelis, on the other hand, I can see their point. And maybe I'll catch a lot of flack from you. Maybe I have nothing to say about this, but maybe I'll catch a lot of flack from you for having a wrong-headed viewpoint here. I can kind of see where the Israelis are coming from, because I don't trust the administration in Iran. And if I were sitting that close, I'd want to do something. I'd want to at least have, you know, at least defend myself. And maybe this, brings up a bigger question about, is there a time ever where one country can launch a preemptive strike against another country and be able to justify it? Because I certainly don't think this administration justified doing it in Iraq. But could the Israelis make a case to justify this against the Iranians? 303-713-7600. I got four open lines here, which is unusual for this time of the morning. So if the Israelis did go after Iran, you would sit by and have nothing to say about it, which could be the case. You know, maybe you don't care one way or the other. But Israel is an ally of the United States. And a close, integral, key player for the United States in the Middle East. And so the end result is we would get sucked in, wouldn't we? Then you got a whole other picture going on here. Then it does involve you and I. If we supported Israel in their attack against the Iranians, what would that do for this country's standing in the Middle East? And you know something? Our standing in the Middle East is, well, I can't use that word on the air. Our standing in the Middle East is crap right now due to what's going on in Iraq. We're not winning any hearts and minds of anybody in the Middle East, despite what this administration tries to tell us. Despite what this administration tries to say on a daily basis, despite what this administration tries to peddle, we are not winning the hearts and minds of people in Iraq. We're not winning the hearts and minds of people in the Arab world and the so-called quote-unquote Arab street. And this is my favorite story about the Arab Street. I love to retell this story because this shows you how misguided neocons are. This shows you how misguided people on the right are. I worked, and I've told this story before, but I got to tell it again because it's just so perfect. I worked with an extremely neocon angry co-host in Chicago. And one day we were having a discussion about the Middle East. And I was trying to bring up the point that going into Iraq, and plus our involvement with Israel, which I find nothing wrong with that, I just wish we would push the Israelis and the Palestinians to work out some kind of a deal which would lessen the tensions in the Middle East. I maintain that going into Iraq does nothing, would do nothing for us on the Arab street. That being involved in Iraq would do nothing. And that giving Israel, and I say this as an American Jew, giving Israel carte blanche in the Middle East also doesn't help us. And she started screaming at me, I don't give a damn about the Arab street. I don't care what the Arab street thinks. And I thought to myself, well, isn't this what it's all about? Isn't this what it all hinges on? And if the Arab street doesn't matter, why is it the Bush administration hires Muslim journalists and Iraqi journalists to gin up positive news reports about Americans in Iraq and Americans in the region? If the Arab street doesn't matter, it does matter to us. So if the Israelis carry out this raid at the end of March, like this story in the Herald says they're going to do, we're going to get sucked into this thing. All right, 303-713-7600, and I got full lines. Everybody hang on. We'll take your calls right after we take a look at progressive traffic here on AM 760. Progressive Talk.
We are seeing a busy ride this morning on the north end of town, southbound I-25, loaded up from 104th right into downtown. Have these two accidents up to the shoulder. And the clearing stage is now one at 23rd, the other at 20th, adding to your jams now. In Aurora, southbound 225, seeing the usual slowing from Parker Road right into the Tech Center. I-70 slows eastbound from Pecos to Brighton Boulevard, and we're dealing with trouble around Rocky Flats. This wildfire has Highway 93 closed between Highway 72 and 128. 72 also shut down between Blue Mountain Drive and 93. That's going to, cause some trouble for you. You might want to avoid the area if you can. As an alternate, you could hop on Indiana. Now, around town, things are busy on Foothills Parkway, the diagonal. Crews have cleared this crash at Broadway and Bayside and the Turnpike with no brake lights eastbound from Federal to Pecos. And checking out the forecast, it'll be a nice one today. Sunny skies, highs in the 60s. We're at 52 degrees now. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Heating bills will be outrageous this winter. Act now with Tom Martino approved energy efficient replacement windows from K&H Windows and Exterior.
If you love your coffee and want to take it with you when you travel, you need to learn about Road Warrior brand Laptop Coffee. Laptop Coffee is travel friendly coffee, sealed in personal tins. Plus, it's superior gourmet compared to the coffee most hotels leave for you in the room. Each tin contains 2 4-cup filter packs for 2 personal pots of rich, full-bodied 100% Arabica coffee. You'll never have to endure lousy in-room hotel coffee again. For a free sample, click the ad on your screen or log on to laptopcoffee.com and order the free sample pack.
Imagine living truly debt-free. No credit card debt, no car payments, no mortgage. Just your daily living expenses. And you can do this with just the money you already make. I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth program. I did it, and so have nearly 500,000 others using my proven system.
I'm completely debt-free now thanks to John Commuta.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
It works no matter how much debt you have. My system doesn't consolidate your debt, it eliminates it. It's easy, risk-free, and works with any income level.
And once we got on the system, we were able to eliminate about 90% of our debt.
I never have to worry about who's calling me or who's knocking on my door.
Call now and I'll rush you a free tape that will show you the power of my proven system. 1-800-900-5541. 1-800-900-5541. That's 1-800-900-5541.
You are not easy to pin down. You're not one-dimensional. You're diverse. You have a wide range of interests, hobbies, and pastimes, all of which call for a bountiful bouquet of televised entertainment. That's why Comcast Digital Cable is offering you up to 200 channels of choice for just $49.99 for 3 months. For the sports fan, there's ESPN, Fox Sports, and Altitude. The kid in you gets Nickelodeon, Noggin, and Sprout. And your inner movie buff can watch up to 7 channels of HBO with Million Dollar Baby, The Ring 2, and new seasons of The Sopranos and Deadwood in March. Plus, you can enjoy over 2,300 hours of movies, shows, and music with the magic of On Demand. Select from a continually updated library and watch what you want, when you want. $49.99 gets you 3 months of up to 200 channels from Comcast Digital Cable. With that many choices, even a multifaceted individual like you is sure to be satisfied. Call 1-800-COMCAST today. Certain restrictions apply. Offer good through January 21st and not available in all areas. Call for details.
Your generosity can help give an entire family the security they really need. This is from Release Team in Denver, specialists in software configuration management using IBM Rational ClearCase and IBM Rational ClearQuest. Log on to ReleaseTeam.com.
Mark Major with Aspen Goodyear. Folks, when you think tires, think Aspen Goodyear. 303-771-9800. Full service facilities. We run the automotive troubleshooter show for Tom Martino. 303-771-9800. My name's Mark Major with Aspen Goodyear.
You can now get up on the left side of the bed. Jay Marvin on AM 760. Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 7:34, 26 minutes in front of 8 o'clock, high today 61. Jay Marvin, good to be back. Israel could be planning to launch a preemptive strike against Iran over nuclear sites because Iranians are threatening Israelis. What role should the United States play in this? Because we're going to get sucked into it. 303-713-7600. Let's go to Steve on 470. Steve, you're on AM 760. Go ahead.
Hi, Jay. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, Steve. How are you?
Good, good. Here's the problem, is that if Israel takes this action, they can't take it without the U.S.'s cooperation and approval. This is not like back in the 90s where they bombed a single nuclear reactor in Iraq. Iran's nuclear system is countrywide, so Israel is going to have to launch massive airstrikes over U.S.-controlled airspace, because they got to fly over Iraq to get there, and we control that air. So if Israel does it, we have to cooperate and agree, and the Arab world is going to go ballistic. It's just going to go absolute ballistic. They'll cut off oil. It'll be the beginning of the next world war, truly.
So what do you think our response ought to be? I mean, we can't just sit and do nothing.
No, our response should be Israel to sit down and shut up and not do it. That should be our response. It would be the most reckless thing that has ever been done in world history.
But what about the Israelis who would make the case, well, we hear you, Steve, but if they get nuclear weapons, if they get delivery capabilities, they're sitting right in our neighborhood and they're threatening us on a daily basis. Do we wait for them to come get us, or do we take care of them before they reach that point?
We get the UN together, and we put sanctions on them, and we pressure them to give up those weapons, just like we had pressured Iraq into giving up theirs.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. I mean, we did have them in a box, despite what the right wing has to say. That's correct. We had Iraq in a box. And you're also right about what you're saying, that if this happens, we're going to get sucked into it, and the Middle East is going to blow up.
You can't not get sucked into it, because we'll be involved if Israel does it.
All right, Steve, drive safe, man. Great call.
Right.
Really appreciate
bye-bye.
It. Two lines open at 303-713-7600. We'll get sucked into this thing any way you look at it. And we got enough problems in the Middle East to begin with. Plus, and this is something that isn't discussed very much, how about our energy dependence on the Middle East? That doesn't come up very often anymore. And it's huge. Let's go to David in Denver. Dave, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Yes, Jay, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think we're sort of caught in a catch-22 here. If Israel drops a bomb or takes strikes towards Iran, then Hezbollah shoots their missiles off at Israel, and Israel's now fighting a war on two fronts. We can't really step in either way because we've got so much of our own people in Iraq. So, I mean, I think really the only answer is to hope that the U.S. with us, that Israel, that Iran is building a new, that they need to be stopped, that they step in to what they did with Iraq and sort of help us out there.
Well, how do we stop them? How do we get them to stop if they're determined not to?
If Iran is determined not to?
Yeah.
Well, if Iran is determined not to, I mean, they're sort of like terrorists themselves. It's sort of like you can put an alarm on your car, but if someone wants to break in, they're going to do it anyway. You know, I mean, that's why it's such a scary situation, because I think preemptive attack, it's a lose-lose. So I think the only hope is through diplomatic actions.
Yeah, we're going to have to do it diplomatically, you're right, because any other way, as the first caller, Steve, points out, any other way we're headed towards bad times. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Drive safe. Have a good day.
Thanks.
One line open at 303-713-7600. Mohammed in Denver. Mohammed, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning. Am I on the line?
Yeah, you're here.
Yeah. I just want to say that one needs to look at it from all perspectives. From the Iranian perspective, they're looking at an Israel that has nuclear weapons, both fission and fusion weapons, that has attacked or has had conflict with all of its surrounding countries and has bombed Tunisia and Iraq, which are not surrounding countries. So if you were an Iranian, what would you do?
Well, I certainly wouldn't sit there and make threatening comments towards Israel and claim that Israel should be wiped off the face of the earth and that the Holocaust never happened and go on and on. What I would do, if I were a rational government, and those conflicts have shown up in the past, you're right, and the Israelis did do it towards Iraq because they thought they were threatened by the Iraqis and Saddam Hussein, and Saddam Hussein had a pretty bad track record, but what I would do is I'd take it to the international community. I take my dispute to the international community involving them. But what is Israel, you know, because I don't know this, so I'm asking you this question. What specifically has Israel done that has been threatening to the Iranians?
Well, it has. Israel has had a policy, a declared policy, you know, and Sharon was a principal proponent of it, of greater Israel.
But I'm asking you a direct question here. I'm asking you a specific question, which is, what have the Israelis... And I'm not taking their side. I'm just asking, what have the Israelis done specifically to the Iranians that would make the Iranians feel threatened?
Well, the fact that they have nuclear weapon and that they have a history of attacking their neighbors.
But they've never done anything directly to Iran, have they?
Well, they're opposed to the regime of the Ayatollah.
But there are a lot of countries out there that are opposed to the regime, and secular Islamic countries such as Saudi Arabia, Jordan, they're scared of Islamic radicalists, just like the rest of the world is. But my question is, what have the Israelis done to the Iranians? I mean, they haven't made any statements about we're going to wipe you out. They haven't taken any kind of military action towards them.
Well, they have.
Well, give me an example of that.
Well, the example is that they have intervened into the 1988 war to make that war continue between the Iraqis and the Iranians.
Well, so
both the Israeli and the United States were involved to continue that conflict.
But I'm talking about right now in the last 6 months to the last year. What have the Israelis done? I mean, we were involved in that whole Iranian situation as well.
But nobody rationally looked at the last 6 months or six. My point is though.
The Israelis in the last 6 months, to the last year, to the last 2 years, have not, as far as I know, and maybe I'm wrong about this, and I would concede that if I am wrong, that they haven't made any saber-rattling remarks about Iran other than to comment on Iran's nuclear program. But a lot of countries have done that, including Western Europe. They haven't taken any kind of aggressive move towards Iran. But the other side of it is that the Iranians, you know, are acting in an irrational manner.
I'm not saying that the Iranians are not acting or not talking in an irrational manner. What I'm saying is that when you are a leader of a country and you look at yourself, you know, the Iranians surrounded by armies by the United States armies on the east and on the west, Afghanistan and Iraq, that you have an Israel that has nuclear weapons that has offered the United States to attack suggested the United States take out the Iranian nuclear plant.
When was that?
It's been in the news for the last 6 months, the last year.
Well, you know, all I've heard is the Israelis talking about the possible threat from the Iranians over nuclear weapons, but I haven't heard them say anything about wanting to wipe out Iran.
No, not wipe out Iran, but take on the regime. So you have an Iranian that is there and says, hey, they have nuclear weapon, I got to have nuclear weapon. My point is to say, nobody should.
Well, I agree with you there. Nobody should have nuclear weapons. No question about that.
But very few people are discussing the problem of Israel's nuclear weapon in the Middle East. Very few people.
Because very few people judge the Israelis to be unstable, and a lot of people judge the Iranians to be unstable, and to have the president of a country stand up and talking about how you should be wiped off the face of the earth,
and that makes,
you should be moved to Europe. I mean, those are irrational statements, and have a tendency to worry people.
And I agree with you, but I also consider a big segment of the Israeli population and the Israeli government, and I'm saying big segment, I'm saying about 50%, are bellicose and have engaged in practices in the past that have inflamed the situations in the Middle East.
And well, there's also a growing peace movement in Israel as well.
Growing, unfortunately, you know, but there is.
But still,
one.
It's
not the entire population.
Still, over the course of this conversation, though, you haven't really given me any concrete examples where the Israelis in recent memory have ever stood up and said anything close to what the Iranians have said, in that you should be wiped off the face of the earth, that you shouldn't exist. You know, they haven't made those kind of comments, and people who make those kind of comments, I would say the people who make those kind of comments, other people have a tendency to look at them and think that they're irrational. Thank you, Mohammed. I appreciate the call. 744, it's 60 minutes in front of 8, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Are you looking for a change but not sure what? Find all the inspiration and innovation you need for your home improvement projects at your new Home Depot, opening this Thursday in Boulder off of Arapahoe next to Scott Carpenter Park. The new Home Depot opens in Boulder on Thursday.
AM 760, Progressive Traffic.
Busy ride this morning around town, loaded up on Foothills Parkway, the Diagonal, Arapahoe, Broadway, and Bayside are busy, and crews have cleared this crash at Broadway and Bayside. Now, Deborah bound on the Turnpike, slow go from Federal over to Pecos. Still seeing some trouble with this wildfire around Rocky Flats, Highway 93, closed between Highway 72 and 128 and 72, also shut down from Blue Mountain Drive over to 93. Alternate, you could hop on Indiana. Now seeing a tough ride southbound I-25, jammed from 104th right into downtown and through T-Rex, southbound 225, looking at brake lights from Parker Road into the tech.
My friends laughed at me when I said I could order in French, but when the waiter came, I just smiled and said, Je voudrais le poulet et le riz.
Millions of people everywhere are learning new languages faster than they thought possible with Rosetta Stone software, and we guarantee that you can too. To prove it, we want you to try our amazing software free. Just request a free demo CD-ROM and see how fast you can learn a language. For your free CD-ROM, call 1-800-339-1195. Discover the secret to learning languages that U.S. diplomats, NASA, and the Peace Corps have known for years. And best of all, there's no tedious translation, no useless memorization, and no boring drills.
If my friends were impressed by that, just wait till we go to Chinatown next week.
Experience the fastest way to learn any of 28 languages, guaranteed. Request your free CD-ROM by calling 1-800-339-1195. That's 1-800-339-1195.
GAP provides developmentally disabled adults the help and resources to lead a fulfilling life and make a meaningful contribution to the community. GAP needs your help with funding for various equipment, vans, and daily activities. Please call to make a donation, 303-989-9830.
Freedom Harley-Davidson is Denver's premier Harley-Davidson dealer. And right now, it's the huge Out With The Old inventory sale. See the selection of motor clothes, parts, and accessories all on sale. The event kicks off this Saturday, January 7th, with free food and drinks. drinks starting at noon. Get to Freedom Harley-Davidson early for the best selection. The sale continues till the 14th or until it's all gone. Freedom Harley-Davidson at 8020 West Colfax, just west of Wadsworth. Just click the logo on your screen right now for more info. Stop dreaming and start enjoying the ride.
Service and investigational study medication. If you're experiencing the bothersome symptoms of BPH or enlarged prostate, call the Essential Group at 1-866-77-STUDY. That's 866-77-STUDY. Once again, the number is toll-free, 1-866-77-STUDY. The first step is your call.
Want to be an eBay entrepreneur? Then get your free CD that's showing people how to make a fortune with online auctions like eBay. It's so easy. This software is actually illegal in some states, but not yours. So pick up the phone and get your free CD from Internet Speedway now. Make a fortune with this system while it's still legal in your state. 1-800-700-5903. 1-800-700-5903. 1-800-700-5903.
You really know your past, the history behind your family, and who you are. In less than 5 minutes, we can help you start to find out. At Ancestry, we help millions of people just like you connect with their family roots, from the recent past to 10 generations or more. We're so sure that we can find your family history, we'll send you a free report with fascinating facts on your family name at no cost to you. Call 1-800-300-3414. That's 1-800-300-3414. 1-800-300-3414.
Admit it. Right after Christmas, sometimes there's a little bit of a letdown. Maybe you just want the holidays to keep going, or maybe you didn't get quite what you were hoping for. Well, at Gander Mountain, we've got the cure for any case of post-holiday blues. It's the winter clearance, with savings of up to 50% off Gander Mountain's everyday low prices. Get 30 to 50% off men's and women's sportswear and outerwear. 25 to 50% off camo and blaze outerwear and accessories. Plus, during the Gander Mountain winter clearance, you can get an additional 10% off all clearance firearms. You can even get 40% off all in-stock tree stands. So hurry into Gander Mountain and get those things you didn't find under your tree. Or just get yourself a big head start on spring. But while winter clearance at Gander Mountain will be going on through the end of January, you need to hurry in now for the best selection. Hey, there's no letdown here. Just lower prices. Gander Mountain. We live outdoors.
The GOP calls him an SOB. It's Jay Marvin.
AM 760. Progressive Talk.
Good morning. 7:50, 10 minutes away from 8 o'clock. High today, 61. AM 760. Progressive Talk. Jay Marvin along with you. By the way, I'm not being an advocate for Israel and this whole Israeli-Iranian nuclear preemptive strike situation. I'm just trying to examine all the sides of it. And it seems to me that the Iranians, rather than stand up and make these saber-rattling statements, if they have a problem with Israel, take it to the international community. I mean, that's where everybody ought to go. And the use of nuclear weapons, you know, is not a way to solve any problems. By the way, the Israelis have not made any statement about using nuclear weapons against Iran. So, you know, that's unfair to say that that's where they're coming from. Let's go to Michael in Denver. Michael, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
How you doing, Jay? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, you bet.
Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, too.
Yeah, you know, it's this thing with Iran and Israel, and it comes down so much to just, you know, religions and what people believe. And, you know, the scary thing about it is that you've got Christians that are convincing each other that they're the chosen people, and you've got Jews that are convinced they're the chosen people, and Muslims, and everybody thinks they're the only chosen people. And as long as you've got that mentality, and as long as people come from that perspective, there's not going to be an opportunity for people to sit down and find out what their commonality is. You know, everybody is convinced that, you know, we're the ones, you know, we're the ones that are, you know, that deserve God's kingdom and the rest of this. And, you know, they're not even willing to sit down and discuss what the options are.
Yeah, we have some of that. We have some of that amongst the religious right in this country, too.
Absolutely, and they're just as scary as the extremist Islam, you know? I mean, they really believe that they can do no wrong, and that since they're God's chosen people, it doesn't matter what extreme they take to, you know, to make their point and to do what they want to do. You know, with Bush administration and some of these, the neocons and the Christian right in this country, they've taken it to a level where, you know, they've justified their actions in Iraq and several other conflicts because they believe that they have, they're on the moral high ground. Everybody else is a heathen, and everybody else is you know, only going to be in the fold of God's family once they convert to Christianity.
You know, I wonder if the religious right in the Bush administration, particularly George W. Bush, who is a born again, I wonder if they feel like Israel and Iran going at it is a fulfillment of a prophecy.
Yeah, you know, I think that to a certain extent, it seems to me that they do. You know, you get these groups of people that surround themselves with, you know, the yes men and people that support their point of view. And it's like a slippery slope, you know. They just, every time they see something, and how long has it gone on? I mean, for all of history, people have been equating political and religious actions with the Book of Revelations. You know, we've always been at the end times. And, you know, I believe in God. I don't have any question in my mind that there is a God, but I don't know what God is. And I don't know what form God takes. And it seems to me that with everything that we know now, which is that we know now that we don't know that much, you know. We know now that so many interpretations of God and creationism have been wrong. It seems that from every one of those religious aspects, the first thing that they would want to do is take a step back and think to themselves and say, you know what, until we find out what God is and until we find out what form that takes and how that is, then I'm not going to take the extreme step of killing anybody else who doesn't believe in God the way that I do.
All right, so in the end result here, if the Israelis are determined, if they feel threatened by Iran because Iran is developing nuclear weapons, so they feel like they have to launch a preemptive strike to take care of them, where should the United States come down on this?
That's a tough question. You know, how do you come down on either side of it without being a hypocrite? You know, I mean, you can say that the Iranians are too radical to have nuclear weapons. Well, the United States is the only country that's ever used nuclear weapons against another nation. You know, so as far as I'm concerned, in the world community, we don't have a lot of credibility in determining what other countries should possess nuclear weapons, what other countries have a right to use them.
Yeah, World War II is definitely a different thing because we were attacked and... that was a war of choice by the Japanese and the Germans, and it was a war of aggression.
Yeah, it was.
And we just simply figured that a nuclear bomb is the fastest way to put an end to it, whether it you know has turned out now to play out to be a good thing or not.
I think
that takes a lot of debate.
It does take a lot of debate. You know, if there is going to be something that came out of it that was good, I think what needs to come out of it is that we learned how horrible it is, and we learned that it's not necessarily the only answer. In that situation, you know, what can we say? What's done is done.
You know, you got to sit down and figure out how you're going to explain that to the Iranians and the Israelis, who, by the way, are not threatening on using nuclear weapons. They're talking about using conventional weapons to try to paralyze Iran's nuclear aspirations. Michael, thank you. Appreciate the call, man. Have a good day.
You too.
All right. Let's go to Sean. Sean Heyer on AM 760. Good morning.
Hi, Jay. This is Sean. I'm talking to you on the Ronald Reagan Highway heading south on I-25.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask about the Iranians building a nuclear power plant or a nuclear power facility. Obviously, they've proven themselves to be a regime that cannot be trusted. They're not very good people, the regime. But the question would be, shouldn't we make allowances for certain regimes to build nuclear power plants for power, not for weapons, but in fact for power? Unlike some other liberals, I do see it as a viable alternate energy source, realizing there are problems with it. But I think that for any country to become a better country, a more democratic country, what they need to have is a developing or developed infrastructure, not necessarily capitalism with a capital C, but at least an infrastructure that's developed or developing, and countries aren't able to do that without the power necessary.
I would agree with all of that, but what do you do when that country, and in this case Iran, decides to go a step further and develop nuclear fuel and nuclear weapons?
Yeah, and absolutely, that's the big problem there. I would think in this certain situation, if Israel wants to step in and take military action, we should nicely ask them to hold off on that. Let's try to allow for other means to work first. If those means don't work and Israel steps in there, we can't really condone those actions, but at the same time, we can't condemn them. It's kind of like we're stuck where we have to say, well, we understand why you did that, but we're not necessarily throwing our full support there. I mean, obviously, if we do that, it'd be like getting carte blanche to Israelis again.
Yeah, we're stuck in a terrible catch-22. There's no doubt about it. Be safe out there, Sean. Thank you for the call.
Will do. Thank you.
All right. You know what? The end result is here is that the international body, the UN, we should stop dis-UN, get John Bolton out of there, support the UN, and urge every country, regardless of what their gripe is, to take it to the world body and see if we can settle it. All right. Thank you for all your calls. More coming up here on AM 760, Progressive Talk. Good to have you along this morning.
My email isn't working again.
The network is down again?
Hey, who unplugged the server? Maybe your office is not the best location for critical IT infrastructure. Today's business relies on technology. At Riptide Hosting, their job is to keep your network up and running. Riptide provides dedicated servers and server co-location in a Class A data center for much less than you might think. Riptide Hosting is located in the DTC. Click on the banner in your player to compare pricing and get more info at RiptideHosting.com.
You have a wide range of interests, hobbies, and pastimes, all of which call for a bountiful bouquet of televised entertainment. That's why Comcast Digital Cable is offering you up to 200 channels of choice for just $49.99 for 3 months. For the sports fan, there's ESPN, Fox Sports, and Altitude. The kidding you gets Nickelodeon, Noggin, and Sprout. And your inner movie buff can watch up to 7 channels of HBO with Million Dollar Baby, The Ring 2, and new seasons of The Sopranos and Deadwood in March. Plus, you can enjoy over 2,300 hours of movies, shows, and music with the magic of On Demand. Select from a continually updated library and watch what you want when you want. $49.99 gets you 3 months of up to 200 channels from Comcast Digital Cable. With that many choices, even a multifaceted individual like you is sure to be satisfied. Call 1-800-COMCAST today. Certain restrictions apply. Offer good through January 21st and not available in all areas. Call for details.
Jay Marvin, Al Franken, Ed Schultz, Randy Rose, The Majority Report, and Mike Malloy. This is AM 760, Progressive Talk. KKZN, Morton, Denver, Boulder.
CBS News, I'm Frank Sedapani.
Welcome back, Judge Alito. I expect
it's
we'll
day two of the Supreme Court nominees' Senate confirmation hearing. The CBS's Howard Arenstein in Washington.
Democrat Dick Durbin of Illinois opened with more attacks, like this one on abortion.
You said yesterday you would have an open mind when it came to this issue. I'm sorry to report that your memo seeking a job in the Reagan administration does not evidence an open mind. It evidences a mind that sadly is closed in some areas.
Durbin pressed again on Roe v. Wade.
Do you believe it is the settled law of the land?
Roe v. Wade is an important precedent of the Supreme Court.
Whoever called it a minuet was right. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
A man facing execution in Tennessee hopes the Supreme Court will give him the right to use DNA evidence to win a new trial. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen says the case the court hears within the hour is the first of its kind.
The gist of this case is that scientific evidence from DNA has helped to cut into the theory of the prosecution's case against Paul House without destroying that theory, without outright proving him to be innocent. And so now the court has to decide whether that shift alone is enough to give House a new trial or some other form of relief.
A big wildfire fanned by 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts is racing through parts of Arvada, Colorado. Jim Shires with the Sheriff's Office says 130 families were asked to evacuate as a precaution.
Some of the homes may have been threatened, but none of the homes have been lost.
Jennifer Cabala of KCNC-TV says the area just hasn't had any rain.
Colorado has had a terrific snow year in the mountains. In the metro area, it's been very dry. We've had temperatures in the 70s. Recently, which has been so extremely odd for us. And then, of course, the winds blowing really high has dried out all of the grass out here and made it a tinderbox.
Well, most drivers don't get the MPGs they were promised on their car's window sticker. Federal EPA knows that, and it's changing the way mileage estimates are calculated to make them more realistic. The result will be estimates that are 5 to 30% lower. Some drivers don't seem to care.
Honestly, I don't know. I just fill it up when it's empty and
That's it, man. I drive to work.
Changes will start with the 2008 model year. Without fanfare, the IRS has frozen refunds for thousands of low-income taxpayers while it investigates suspected fraud. IRS taxpayer advocate Nina Olson has a problem with the way the agency went about that.
The criminal investigation function was making determinations of fraud, criminal fraud, without telling the taxpayer.
A report by Olson's office also says IRS taxpayer service is on the decline as the agency spends more time and money on tax collection. Sad news for opera lovers. Birgit Nilsson, the greatest Wagnerian soprano of the post-war era, has died in Stockholm. She was 87. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials are down 7, NASDAQ's down 2. This is CBS News.
The following is a paid commercial message.
There seems to be a bit of a debate going on regarding the latest in cold sore treatments. Apparently, there's a new one-day cold sore symptom treatment called Relieve that relieves symptoms in just a day. And although it's new in the market, it's doing incredibly well. It's been my experience in this world that once in a great while, a new product or new breakthrough occurs, and it makes the world a better place. Seems that this Relieve is doing just that, making the world a better place. This treatment has been developed for 15 years, and although it's fairly new to the stores, it's been greatly successful helping people relieve the pain and symptoms of cold sores really fast. Symptoms, including pain, began relieving in minutes and were relieved in only 24 hours. That's a wonderful thing for anyone who suffers from those dreadful outbreaks. Relieve is spelled R-E-L-E-E-V. You can buy Relieve at CVS, Walgreens, Eckert Drugs, Jewel Osco Savon, Rite Aid, Duane Reade, Fred Meyer, Brooks, Kmart, Ralph's, Raley's, and other fine stores.
Something a television evangelist said about Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon could come back to haunt him. CBS's Robert Berger has the story from Jerusalem.
Israel won't do business with Pat Robertson after he said that Ariel Sharon's stroke was divine punishment for last summer's Gaza pullout. Tourism officials say they're furious with Robertson. Their decision casts doubt on Robertson's $50 million plan to develop an evangelical tourism center in Galilee.
Acting Prime Minister Ehud Olmert says Sharon is continuing to improve, but doctors say it's too early to tell if he'll recover.
Call the mortgage store today at 303-423-7171.
AM 760, progressive traffic.
Well, good news for southbound I-25. Crews have cleared two earlier accidents at 23rd, the other at 20th. Still running heavy, though, from Thornton North Glen right into downtown and through T-Rex. Now, eastbound C-470 slows from Wadsworth over to Broadway. I-70 loaded up in both directions right around the complex. That's because of the stock show. And this wildfire near Rocky Flats still causing trouble this morning. Highway 93 and 72, they're closed, so avoid the area if you can, or hop on Indiana as your alternate. Now around town, Foothills Parkway, Arapahoe, and South Boulder Road, they're busy. And we're slowing Denver bound on the turnpike from Federal over to Pecos. Now check on the forecast. Going to be a nice one this afternoon. Should be sunny skies with highs close to 60. Right now we're at 52 degrees. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Are you looking for a change but not sure what? Find all the inspiration and innovation you need for your home improvement projects at your new home.
Everyone has a dream home, an ideal place where they can live life by their rules, especially when it comes to their TV.
In my dream home, my TV show would start when I was ready.
In my dream home, my movies would come to life.
Comcast has an offer that will make your dreams a reality. Call today and get digital cable, including on-demand and stars, just $49.99 per month for 3 months.
In my dream home, Dora the Explorer will come over anytime I want it.
On Demand is a library of thousands of free movies and shows you can start anytime, only from Comcast, not satellite. Comcast also offers you up to 14 high-definition channels, including local channels you can't get from satellite.
Improve your home.
Improve your life.
And dream big.
With Comcast.
Call 1-800-COMCAST for digital cable with on-demand and stars. Just $49.99 per month for 3 months. That's 1-800-COMCAST. Limited time offer, 3 months at $49.99 per month applies to digital silver with stars. After promotional period, regular rate supply, restricted supply not available in all areas.
They make food at Tim Star with passion. Like the habit-forming blue cheese bacon burger taco, a cooked-to-order burger topped with bacon, crumbled blue cheese, chipotle sauce, lettuce, and hand-battered fried onion strings, all placed into flour tortillas. Tim Star's menu certainly has a Southwestern orientation, but incorporates flavors from Texas and beyond. Drop by Tim Star in the Tech Center and join them for lunch, dinner, or for a cold beer or margarita and some spicy queso. Click on the banner in the player for directions. Tim Star. Sizzle, smoke, salsa.
All the misrepresentations by the mainstream media
regarding the Alito confirmation hearings. Go to MediaMattersForAmerica.org. One of my favorite, MediaMatters.org, one of my favorite ones, and I'll give you a little preview here, one of my favorite ones is the fact that on the first day of the Alito hearings, MSNBC had a panel on to discuss the Alito hearings, and, you know, the panel must have been like, I think it was like noon to 4 Eastern time, with Pat Buchanan and some other people. Not one liberal or progressive voice on MSNBC. And that right there is just the beginning. And Media Matters has gigged everybody from MSNBC, the New York Times, the Washington Post, Jeffrey Toobin on CNN, Wolf Blitzer on CNN. They've gigged just about everybody. All right. And we'll talk about that tomorrow. And we'll talk about Alito after 9 o'clock. One of the hot things that the Republicans are going to pursue, that they're going to pursue in November, that they're going to pursue not only in this state, but across the nation, is immigration. You know this is a hot topic. There is a lot of fear involved in immigration. There are a lot of theories. There is a lot of misunderstanding. But what works really well in politics? You know what works really well? You know this. I don't have to tell you. Fear works really well, doesn't it? Fear and playing on people's baser instincts. And there's going to be an amendment up for a vote. We have talked to numerous people about this, including Fred Brown of the Post, concerning immigration in the state of Colorado. Now, the state can do very, very little about the whole subject of immigration. It's pretty much in federal hands. There are bills pending, though, in a number of states, for instance, to do things like punish employers who hire illegals. That's one of the things that the state can do. But when it comes to deporting illegals, you know, the state can't get involved in that. That's the federal government's purview. But there's a story in Associated Press. I just saw it this morning. Which I find to be pretty interesting. Diplomats from Mexico and Central America on Monday, demanded guest worker programs and the legalization of undocumented migrants in the United States while criticizing U.S. proposal for tougher border enforcement. Meeting in Mexico's capital, the regional officials pledged to do more to fight migrant trafficking, but indirectly condemned a U.S. bill that would make it illegal and make it a felony to enter this country, and also to extend borders. Migrants, regardless of their migratory status, should not be treated like criminals, these leaders said. The countries are represented at the meeting, including Mexico, Nicaragua, Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, Belize, and Panama, created a working group to design a regional policy to avoid migrant abuse and to follow the course of the legislation. There is has to be an integrated reform that includes a temporary worker program, but also the regularization of those people who are already living in the receptor countries. This is according to a Mexican Foreign Relations Secretary, Luis Ernesto De Beres has called the measure, which passed the U.S. House of Representatives last month, but still must go on before the Senate, stupid and underhanded, but was somehow more restrained on Monday, saying it's not the Mexican government's position to tell the U.S. Senate what to do. The U.S. proposal has caused widespread resentment in Mexico, where some have accused President Vicente Fox's administration of not being assertive enough in opposing it. Fox has called the bill shameful. And, of course, the bill would make illegal entry a felony, and would also extend the borders. And you know that there's plans out there, too, to build a wall and the whole shtick. Here's my question. And it's not the first time that I've raised it, and it's not going to be the last time that we're going to get into this discussion. And it's going to heat up more and more when we get towards November. And that is, what should be the progressive response to the question of immigration? What should we as liberals and progressives, what should be our response to the question of illegal immigration in this country? What should be our plan? What do you think is a good response? You know, for me, I think it's a two-pronged response. Number one, you go after employers who hire illegal immigrants. Now, people have made the argument that you do that, it drives prices up. There was a long article in the New York Times yesterday about how more and more women are coming from Latin America and risking their lives and their physical health to enter this country. And one of the women that was profiled in this article, front page article in the New York Times yesterday, she was quoted as saying that she couldn't make a living in Mexico, that she was leaving her daughter behind because she promised her daughter that someday she would have enough money and that they would have enough money to have a little house and a dog. Why was she coming to the United States? Why was she risking her life? And many women, when they're brought over by these unscrupulous coyotes, are raped, sexually abused. But why was she going to risk it all to come to the United States? For a job in a meatpacking plant that pays $5.15 an hour. So going after the employers, they can make an argument that it would raise the cost of everyday items. Personally, I'd be willing to pay that cost. That's number one. I mean, this is the J. Marvin plan, which I'm not saying is foolproof. But these are the two things that come to mind for me. Number one, going after the employers. If there are no jobs to come to, people won't come here for jobs. And number two, turning the debate around on these Latin American representatives and questioning why it is that their economies routinely engage in unequal redistribution of the wealth upwards. So the people who are living in these countries see the United States as a key to a better way of life, and they leave their homes because they live in abject poverty and there's no chance for a better life. To me, those are the two key things. And you don't hear much out of this administration, and you don't hear much out of the people who beat their chests on a regular basis about illegal immigration. You don't hear much about putting pressure on the Mexican government. That's pretty much left out of the dialogue, and the dialogue usually centers around a guest worker program and a way for the 11 million illegal immigrants that are in this country to mainstream themselves into American society. I've also said this, and I've gotten a lot of objectionable email over this. I'm not scared of immigration. I'm not scared of people coming here. We have a long history of people coming to this country. We have a long history of people coming to this country and building and making this country great and even greater. And immigrants, both illegal and legal, have traditionally taken jobs and have traditionally done things that, you know, ordinary Americans wouldn't do. Now, there's some debate about this, too, saying that argument is a false argument. But you can go to history books and you can look at the patterns of migration. And we've also turned people away before. You know, the Statue of Liberty and all that stuff about give us your huddle, give us your masses and all that kind of, that doesn't always hold true. There's a very, very famous case of Jewish immigrants who had fled Europe because of World War II and the conditions prior to World War II. And I'm not sure the date about this because I can't remember, but if you go look it up, it's there. And they wanted to come to the United States, and they were on a boat, a ship. And this ship was full of immigrants. And it was heading towards the United States, and it was in the Caribbean. Franklin Delano Roosevelt said no. Said they can't come here. The ship was forced to turn around, and it landed in Cuba. Now, in Cuba, you've got a very small European immigration community. And there's a Spanish word that they use for it. It starts with a P, like Plactos or something like that. I can't remember. And I've got a friend in Cuba whose father was a doctor who treated many of these immigrants for tuberculosis and other diseases after they got off the ship. So we have turned people away. And there's that famous court case about the two Chinese. One, he was older than she was. It's against the law in China for that kind of a relationship. The Chinese government forbid them from getting married. So they lived together. She became pregnant, and the Chinese government wanted to force her to have an abortion and wanted to punish both of them. So he fled the country. She was forced to have the abortion and stayed behind. He fled the country. He wanted asylum under an American law that says that anybody from a foreign country who is forced to have an abortion, and I'm just giving you a thumbnail sketch of this, forced to have an abortion, could seek legal asylum in the United States. It went to court, and the courts ruled against this guy and sent him back. By the way, guess who ruled against him? Judge Samuel Alito. All right, but let's talk about immigration and what should be the liberal progressive response to the problem of immigration and the 11 million illegal immigrants that are in this country currently. 303-713-7600. I got three open lines. What do you think should be our response? Get off your half moons. Get plugged into the program. Let's hear from you. I'd love to get into a good conversation. 303-713-7600. AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Need something to complete your indoor game room? Then go to MileHighMarket.com and get a multi-game table with poker, blackjack, and bumper pool all in one. Or do you need prime seating to watch all of the upcoming sports action? Then check out the iJoy Robotic Massage Chair. If you're a workout buff, then the New Balance Recumbent Exercise Bike is for you. All this and more is available at MileHighMarket.com. Buy today and receive an extra 5% off and free shipping to your door. MileHighMarket.com, powered by Gately's.
T-470 sluggish from Earth over to Broadway, and I-70 seeing a busy ride in both directions near the complex. That's because of stock show traffic. Now, Turnpike a little sluggish eastbound from Federal over to Pecos, and onto the forecast, going to see a mix of sun and clouds today with highs in the 60s. We're already at 52 degrees. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
DU offers bachelor's degrees for working professionals that can open a lifetime of opportunities, weekends and evenings and online, adultundergrad.du.edu. That's adultundergrad.du.edu.
Hypnosis works.
I was a non-smoker when I walked out of there.
Hypnosis works. Call 800-735-6907.
I've lost a little over 50 pounds.
John Morgan Seminars presents world-renowned hypnotherapist Doug O'Brien at Red Lion Denver Central, Quebec Street, Tuesday, January 17th.
It works right off.
Smoking cessation is at 6 p.m., weight loss at 8 p.m. Sessions are affordable at $59.95.
That's just amazing.
Stop smoking forever or lose weight and keep it off. Call 800-735-6907.
Hypnosis will be your success story.
800-735-6907.
8:19, 19 minutes after 8, AM 760, Progressive Talk. Jay Marvin along with you. People always ask me, you know, how in the world do you talk about Rockies every day? Sometimes four times a day. And I tell them because, you know something, if you're out there to buy an automobile, Rockies is the home of the cleanest late model used cars, trucks, minivans, vans, and SUVs in Colorado. And, you know, I'm proud to talk about Rockies because I have had, and Mary has had, we have both had, nothing but great experiences with Rockies. We've sent our friends to Rockies. They're just good people to do business with. And when you find out about somebody and you find out that they're good people, and then they come to you and they say, you know, your experience was so pleasant, would you talk about it on the radio? Well, you say, sure, because it's something you want to share. And the Rockies, that's what they're there for. They're there to make you happy. Now, they've got over 100 employees dedicated to making you happy. And you got to go out there and see my friend Spanky and the Al Shear brothers, who are marvelous people, and Colby. They're all out there working hard. All those cars are thoroughly inspected, and that's why they're equipped with a worry-free protection program for pre-owned vehicles from United Car Care, 30 days or 3,000 miles of powertrain protection. Go on the Internet and check out Rockies for yourself, RockiesAutos.com. See their business philosophy there and see what they're all about. Rockies Autos, family-owned and operated since 1982. They're open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Stop by and see them. Rockies, located at the corner of 63rd and Federal, just north of I-76, just south of the Boulder Turnpike.
Make this the year you find love. I'm relationship expert Dawn Yannick, and I want to tell you about a guide I've written for Match.com that will change the life of anyone who's looking for a meaningful relationship. It's called How to Find the Right Person in 90 Days, and it's based on the millions of successful relationships Match.com has inspired over the past 10 years. Now, Match.com wants you to have it free. Finding love is one resolution you can keep. Get started today at Match.com with our guide, free. Visit Match.com for details.
I don't dream like you. I don't have the same skin as you. I don't wear my hair like you. I don't dance like you. I don't come from the same place as you. But I will give you CPR.
With first aid and CPR training from the American Red Cross, you can be ready to save a life today. Contact your local chapter or visit redcross.org. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America.
Bacon, Eggs, and J. Marvin on AM 760 in the morning.
Progressive Talk.
Oh, Mike Campbell used to be a member of this group, right? The Champs? 822, 22 minutes after 8. AM 760, Progressive Talk. High today, 61 degrees, partly sunny skies. J. Marvin plugged in here with you. Thank you so much for joining me. We're talking about immigration. Mexico demands the U.S. allow more immigration. What should be the left progressive aspect and plan for immigration? And I have to, I got to tell you, you know what? I come down more in a libertarian viewpoint about this than maybe a lot of people. I don't fear immigration. I've said this on AM 760, and every time I do, man, I get these emails from people. But you know what? I don't. I reject the Tom Tancredos and the rest of the world. And you know, I would disagree with my good friend Peter Boyles, who sits in the studio next to me. I mean, I just do not fear immigration. And a certain part of that, and I'm not saying this feeling is correct. I'm just saying that it's just my emotional feeling about it. To a certain part of it, I like the idea of just letting the marketplace have somehow a hand in this. But I don't know. Well, what's the way to turn this around? Let's go to Brownlin in Denver. Brownlin, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I just wanted to point out that anti-immigration feeling is very cyclical. If you look at history, when the economy has been good, the United States has welcomed immigrants. If you look at the Bracero program, where the United States actually invited people from Mexico to come work in the fields.
Right, I remember that.
And then when the economy is bad, people start turning against immigrants because they hold jobs that actually, in a good economy, United States citizens don't want to hold. But when those become the only jobs available is when people start turning against immigrants. And so I think part of the thing that we need to do as progressives is look at why the economy is bad right now. I mean, look at all the reasons that we're suffering from a bad economy. Look at what the president has done. Look at how much the executives of Xcel Energy Week.
If you listen to the president, though, I mean, George W. Bush was in Chicago the other day trumpeting how robust the economy is.
Right, but we know that's not true. And all I'm saying is that when United States citizens don't have jobs, they start turning against immigrants instead of looking at the reason why there aren't more jobs available. And looking at the huge disparity between the wealthy and the poor in this country and how that's growing, and look at how much the executives of Xcel Energy make, for example. And I also want to say that immigrants do a lot for this country. They pay taxes. If someone has your Social Security, or someone comes in and gets a fake social Security number, and they work, they're actually paying into the Social Security system. They're paying taxes. And they're really helping the economy in a lot of ways. I actually teach a lot of children of immigrants because I'm a lingual teacher. I have to say that the majority of the kids who come from Mexico are fabulous students because they really respect the teachers, and their parents really want them to learn English. They want them to learn everything. They work very hard, and I just think that they're a great addition. You know, they contribute a lot to the country, and if we're going to look at that, and I want to also say that that law, for example, if the law that they're proposing, I'm not sure if this is one of the proposals that I had heard, that immigrants would not be able to receive health care.
Yeah, that's one of the things I want to put on
the... What in the world would happen?
Yeah.
What if someone gets hit by a car and they happen to be an illegal immigrant?
Yeah, I agree.
Are we going to leave them lying in the street to die?
Yeah, there are a lot of people who feel that way. All right, so the end result of this is, what should be the progressive or liberal response to immigration? What should be the plan to illegal immigration?
I do think that you have a point in saying that if the economies of Mexico and Central America were better, people wouldn't leave their homes. But that's not just the fault of those leaders. It's also, you know, you have to look at globalization and the World Bank and all of those things. But, yes, that is a good point. I think people, by and large, don't want to leave their homes. They want to stay where they are.
All right, so we lean on these governments to clean up their acts.
But it's not just the government. It's a whole, as you know, it's a whole system of globalization that makes the government...
Yeah, I understand that, but you got to start someplace.
You have to start with something.
All right, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Thank you. Because I'm running out of time here. Let me go to Van in Boulder. Van, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hey, Jay.
Hi, Van.
Yeah, so I think we ought to focus on, you know, basically labor laws. And here's my policy plan. I think we ought to go and we should try to help one of our old constituents, the unions, okay? Because as far as I know, no union shop has ever been busted for having illegal immigrants. I just don't think it happened.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? You got a great point there. I can't remember it ever happening. Maybe somebody will Google it and find it, but I don't know of it.
But when the union, when you have a union shop, all of the people that are involved in the business, you know who's who and what they're doing and what the responsibilities are and how the business is run. So bringing in a crew of illegals at, you know, third world wages doesn't cut it. You know, and I think we should focus on the fact that when you have a free market and you're a free marketeer, that this is the result. This is the illegal immigration problem that we have is a direct result of not increasing the minimum wage and the free market. If you want to have, you know, closed borders and limit the free movement of labor, then go for it. But understand that this the problem we have is because of the free market. And I think we ought to also hammer home, you know, like your previous caller was saying about executive pay. I mean, if the minimum wage in the United States had kept pace with executive pay increases that have happened since the 80s, or actually since the last rise in the minimum wage, the minimum wage would be almost $23 an hour.
Well, the minimum wage in this country hasn't risen in, I want to say, somewhere between the area of 7 to 10 years. I just read the figure a couple of days ago, but can't pull it out of my head. But I believe it's between 7 and 10 years. And what is it, $5.25 is like the minimum wage?
Right, yeah. So I think we really focus on, you know, helping our unions get stronger. You know, one of the main places that illegal immigration has really taken hold is in the construction industry. And, you know, you look around at all of these tract home communities, and it really cracks me up. You know, these conservatives are living in homes built by illegal immigrants that have put my friends out of work because they used to be the carpenters building those homes. So, you know, when you say, I don't want a union, you know, I'm against unions, well, you're for the free market and you're for illegal immigration. And I think it's really important to hammer home that this is a direct result of corporations being able to hire whoever the hell they want.
Boy, you know, you bring up a sidecar issue that if I can remember to do this, I'll do it tomorrow morning. And that is why the majority of the populace seems so hell-bent against unions. You know, I've been a member of a union, one particular union. I've been a member of it on and off for like 20 years. And grant you, there are things about it that are a pain in the rear. There are things about it that you know, you get angry about, but I'm also here to tell you that you can achieve change within a union by raising enough of a stink.
And the thing is, Jay, is this ties into the Alito nomination too, because the main thing about Roberts and Alito is their hostility to the interpretation of the Commerce Clause.
Right, exactly.
That allows labor and the labor movement, that allows for Social Security. I mean, we could seriously, we could end up in a situation in 2 or 3 years where you don't have any federal labor laws. You don't have any federal environmental laws because the Supreme Court has gone so far to the right that they have, you know, literally gotten rid of the New Deal.
Yeah, you know what? And I think they would like to do that. And that's why on another topic, and we'll talk to Bruce Shapiro in about 30 minutes about this, about the Alito nomination, I would like to see.
You know, on the other hand, they also wouldn't be able to stop California from passing really stringent environmental laws.
Yeah, I agree.
Oregon and Washington. So there's the national prohibition on marijuana, the DEA has gone. The 11 states that have passed medical marijuana, no problem anymore. So there's a lot of, like, hidden issues with this Alito thing, too.
I agree. Listen, I got to run, but I was going to say to you, I'd like to see the Democrats filibuster, but they probably won't do it. Thanks, man.
Later.
Appreciate the call. And maybe tomorrow morning, if I remember, we'll do something on the unions here. 8:31, 29 minutes in front of 9 o'clock, AM 760, Progressive Talk. One line open at 303-713-7600. This country's whole illegal immigration problem and the liberal progressive response. We'll take more of your calls coming up. I got one line open, 713-7600, area code 303. Now progressive traffic with Bailey.
Thanks, Jay. Good news for southbound I-25 as crews have cleared earlier accidents. Still seeing a pretty slow ride, though, from I-70 to downtown and through T-Rex. Now, eastbound C-470 bunches up from Wadsworth over to Broadway. I-70 actually looking pretty good. A little sluggish near the complex. That's because of stock show traffic. And this wildfire near Rocky Flats still causing trouble this morning. Highway 93 and 72, they're closed. Avoid the area if you can. If not, hop on Indiana as an alternate. Now, around town, things busy on Foothills Parkway, Arapahoe, and South Boulder Road. Have a crash coming in eastbound on the turnpike near Broadway, off to the shoulder, but causing a little bit of curiosity slowing. Checking out the forecast, going to see a mix of sun and clouds today, but high 60s. We're at 54 degrees now. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Change more than your resume. BU offers bachelor's degrees for working professionals that can open a lifetime of opportunities.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn about their world, so follow their lead. Take everyday moments like sorting laundry, shopping, waiting for the bus, and turn them into learning moments. For more information, visit bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
God bless the Internet.
Log on and hear the difference now.
AM760.net.
On AM760.net.
Thermal Advantage is looking to test 100 homes for energy efficiency. All your old windows will be taken out and new windows will be installed. They must test these windows in a real home environment to prove to the public that each and every homeowner will save 50% on their energy bill, or they will reimburse you the difference. For participating when the test is complete, you will be able to keep the windows. Call Thermal Advantage today, 303-487-6880. Operators available 24 hours a day. Call today.
I'm here with two adorable five-year-olds.
Hi.
Chances are that one of them doesn't get the calcium they need for optimal bone growth. In fact, 50% of kids don't get enough calcium. That's why Nesquik is one of the best choices you can make for your kids.
Wow, Nesquik? Can I have
specially fortified with vitamins, minerals, and 33% more calcium than milk alone. It's the delicious way to help them get what they need. Nestle Nesquik, helping build strong bones for life.
I don't dream like you. I don't have the same skin as you. I don't wear my hair like you. I don't dance like you. I don't come from the same place as you, but I will give you CPR.
With first aid and CPR training from the American Red Cross, you can be ready to save a life today. Contact your local chapter or visit redcross.org. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America.
New year, new vision, new you. Take advantage of our 25th anniversary at Spivak Vision Center and save $1,000 on the vision of your dreams. Call 303-C-2020 and start living the LASIK dream. That's 303-C-2020.
What's your goal for making money this year? $50,000, $100,000, $150,000? If so, it's time to make a new goal. How does $300,000 to $700,000 a year sound? My name is Rich Harshaw, author of the breakthrough business book, Monopolize Your Marketplace. I'm looking for successful people who want to start their own business and help fill the demand for our unique marketing services. For details, register for a seminar by calling 1-800-NEW-GOAL or go online to 800newgoal.com. That's 1-800-NEW-GOAL or 800newgoal.com.
Thousands of people are online listening to this station and others with their computers right now. Find out how to get your message in front of this audience for as little as $2 a commercial. Call 303-713-8318. 303-713-8318.
It's Jay Marvin on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Mexican Radio. 8:35, 25 minutes before 9 o'clock. Mexican. Partly sunny skies. 303-713-7600, one open line. Mexico demands U.S. allow more immigration. What is the liberal, or what should be the liberal progressive response to the whole question of illegal immigration? This is going to be on the ballot in Colorado, a measure about illegal immigration. The Republicans are going to talk about this more and more as we get up to November. What's our response going to be to this whole question of illegal immigration? Let's go to Michael in Denver. Michael, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jay.
Hi, Michael.
You know, at the beginning of this conversation, you said the two things that really need to happen. And the Republicans are not going to like that. They're not going to like the fact that you go after business. If it were me, if it were up to me, I'd put on a suit and a tie. I'd go to every business where illegals could be working, and I'd ask to see their books. I don't want them running out and jumping out of windows and hurting themselves and leaving their cars in the parking lot. I'd say, let me see your books. I'll be back in 3 days. And when I come back in 3 days and I match Social Security numbers, all the ones that don't match will cost you $10,000 apiece. And that way, the employer would have to either clean up his act or face the consequences. And that's what really needs to happen.
Yeah, the Republicans are not going to buy that at all because you're picking on their business buddies.
Yeah, but see, but therein lies the point. The point is that if we keep allowing businesses to hire illegal aliens, we put Americans out of work. It's not so much that we don't want to do those jobs. We would do them if they would pay us enough money so that we could live. See, when you what happens is illegals will come here, 20 of them will live in one apartment. They'll all take care of each other in that one apartment and make $4.50 an hour. But we can't do that.
All right, so two things we ought to get into when it comes to illegal immigration is, number one, strict enforcement on the business community for hiring illegal immigrants and paying Americans a decent livable wage in order to perform in the workplace.
Thank you. And that's all I have on that, but that's where we need to go with it.
All right, pal. Appreciate the call.
Take care.
All right. Three lines open at 303-713-7600. Yeah, what about that idea? Because Van and Boulder brought it up originally, and then Michael got into it. What about the idea of raising the minimum wage and having livable conditions for people to seek employment? And also businesses that turn around and hire illegals, that we go after them, which the Republicans are not going to want to do. Because they never met a business interest that they didn't love, basically. And I understand about the small employer. That would be a problem there. But you know what? What's illegal is illegal. Let's go to Jared in Littleton. Jared, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Jay.
Hi.
Jay, I got a three-point program here. Let me say, and everybody has compassion for people that are looking to improve their lives through hard work, and whether they be Americans or from any country. But we've got to do what's possible here. We can't do it all. I've been watching that series on Country Boys on television, and there's a lot of people here that need jobs and need support. I'd like to give you a real-life example of what's happening right here in Colorado in a three-point program.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, to play off the last two callers, in the construction industry, this is where many, many jobs are going. Usually those people talk about the ones in the fields, the illegal immigrants that pick the cotton. But That is a hard luck story. I have no question on that. But they're also moving into now and taking over a large degree of our construction industry jobs that pay well. Right here in Colorado, I have a friend of mine who is a Republican, and I'm not. But regardless, he's very compassionate. He's a good guy. He runs a large company, and he employs a large workforce that he pays good wages to and good benefits. And he was just racking his brain with me the other day saying, I don't know what to do. He said, my competition is hiring illegals. They've cut their costs so much in their quotes that I'm threatened in my business. And I either have to severely raise my benefit costs to my employees, stop giving wages, or else I'm not going to be able to stay in business.
All right, but let me ask you very quickly. If we went after...
There you go.
That guy's competition, and we said, okay, you're hiring illegals. You know what? You're in trouble. You're busted. I mean, that would curtail part of that problem.
Exactly. So here's the three-part program. One is, I agree with you and your previous callers. We got to employers that are hiring illegals. Number two, illegal immigrants have been integrated into society. We've not done anything about it, and we just can't or say move them all back and have them come back later. The economic impact of this country would be huge. We've allowed this to happen. So therefore, I think we also need a guest worker program where we can identify who they are and then put some type of limitations on how long they work here, under what standards, and make sure that we ease it out. You can't do a light switch type of approach. And the third thing is, and this is perhaps a lot of progressives won't like, I think we have to reduce the carrot, the social services and the carrots that encourage people. We put a carrot across the border saying, if you come here, here's what you get, and then we get upset if they come.
You know what? Yeah, you're right. On that part, I disagree. I don't think we advertise to people who are across the border. I don't think we advertise to them the social services that they will receive.
What we
advertise to them is the fact that if you risk your life, you can get a job at a meatpacking plant for $5.15 an hour, which is more than what you're making at home.
Jay, I think that when I say we advertise, let's say this, word gets back. We don't have to advertise. The illegals that come to this country do have contacts back in their foreign countries. They feed back the information on the living standards and what happens, so they know it.
Let's say what you're saying is true. What kind of social services are you talking about cutting off?
I think that first of all, we have to maintain compassion. I mean, if someone gets hurt, if someone needs medical attention, you must provide that, no question about it. I'm thinking more of some of those, for example, and this is one that has been touchy, and that is that if you are born in this country, you automatically become an American citizen, regardless of the status. For example, let's turn it around. Let's say an American service family is in Germany, and they have a child. Does that child become immediately a citizen of Germany or of Turkey or wherever they are?
Yeah, in many countries, military, especially if they live off the base, in many countries, yeah, they hold dual citizenship till they reach a certain age, and then they have to choose.
Very few developed countries allow illegal immigrants that come in.
That's not illegal. Now, wait a minute. You started out talking about American citizens born in foreign countries. Well, where we have military bases, those people are not illegal. So you got to knock that one totally, completely out of the picture. Then I don't see you know, babies being born here. I don't see that, and becoming United States citizens, I don't see that as being a problem one way or the other.
Some of the statistics that I've read, and there's a book put out called Alien Nation, says that 75% of the newborns born in areas of Los Angeles are from illegal entries into the U.S., and they have come specifically to gain that citizenship. Now,
what is the name of that book again?
Alien Nation.
Okay, I'm going to have to check it out.
It's a tremendous book with a lot of statistics.
I'll check it out because I don't know if I totally believe that. But, hey, I thank you for the call and
thank
hope
you.
You'll call again. One line open at 303-713-7600-844, 60 minutes in front of 9 o'clock. The liberal progressive response to the subject of immigration. Coming up after 9 o'clock, Bruce Shapiro from The Nation magazine, Samuel Alito, and the confirmation hearings.
AM 760, progressive traffic.
Things starting to thin out just a little bit around town. Foothills Parkway, the diagonal, South Boulder Road, Highway 93 and 72 still shut down right around Rocky Flats. That's because of this wildfire, so probably best to avoid the area. But if you have to go there, hop on Indiana as an alternate. Now, southbound I-25, still running heavy coming out of Thornton North Glen into downtown and through T-Rex. Eastbound C-470, sluggish from Wadsworth over to Broadway. And I-70, seeing a busy ride in both directions near the complex. That's because of stock show traffic. Now, Turnpike, a little sluggish eastbound from Federal over to Pecos. And onto forecast, going to see a mix of sun and clouds today with highs in the 60s. We're already at 52 degrees. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
It's the big one. It's the Denver Boat Show, January 19th through the 22nd at the Colorado Convention Center. 30 dealers, over 500 new boats, and the best deals of the year with incredible incentives. Discount tickets available at King Supers. Get more info at BoatColorado.org. That's BoatColorado.org.
What's his name? Schultz.
Ed Schultz.
Ed Schultz.
Just call him Ed.
I love Ed because Ed appeals to, like, Joe America.
Not to be confused with anyone else.
He sounds like Rush Limbaugh. Except that good, intelligent words come out of his mouth.
Ed Schultz.
That's just straightforward and honest.
Well, thank you. The truth is interesting, isn't it? The Ed Schultz Show, weekdays at 1 on AM 760.
I love it.
Progressive Talk.
People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, the LASIK Vision Institute is now offering dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK, the latest FDA-approved technology for a fraction of what other providers charge. You can even finance it with 0% financing. Get a free information kit by calling 1-800-700-5075. That's 1-800-700-5075. 1-800-700-5075.
Happy birthday to...
No, don't say it. I'm over 55.
So what?
Over 55. Over 55.
55 is when you start wearing white pants and going to all-you-can-eat buffets.
Well, you're not the only one. The man in the shiny black Coit van celebrating, too.
Coit's over 55?
Yes! It's their anniversary this week, so they're offering 40% off any cleaning service.
40% off carpet cleaning?
Yes, and 40% off draperies and upholstery and air ducts.
40%?
With over 50 years' experience, Coit's the number one cleaning professional in the world.
If the man in the shiny black van's celebrating, maybe we should get him something.
You know what he'd like?
Shot a B-12 in the fanny?
A phone call. Coit would just appreciate our business.
Call the man in the shiny black van today at 1-800-4-COIT and save 40% on any cleaning service during Coit's anniversary sale. Carpets, draperies, upholstery, air ducts, even tile and grout. Plus, you'll get a free written estimate and a 100% money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-FORCOIT this week and save 40%. People you trust, trust Coit.
If you have an adjustable rate mortgage, you might be taking risks with your family's biggest investment.
Homeowners, rates won't stay this low forever. Call the mortgage store today. Don't miss out on taking advantage of historic low rates.
The economy continues to improve.
And the Federal Reserve has begun to raise interest rates.
But right now, you can still lock in a low fixed rate mortgage in the fives.
The mortgage store is a direct lender, so you're guaranteed the best pricing and the best service. Here's what our customers had to say.
It was just so easy. I've never had a refinance so easy.
We closed within days and saved over $350 a month.
We approve our own loans, so even if you've had some credit problems, you can still call us today and get a great fixed rate mortgage in the fives.
Don't procrastinate. Call the mortgage store right now at 303-423-7171 and start saving money today. It's fast, it's easy, and be sure to ask about the 6 months with no payment option. Open evenings and weekends. Call now. 303-423-7171. That's 303-423-7171.
Mark Major with Aspen Goodyear. Listen, you've been listening to our show on Saturdays. On top of that, I want to thank you for coming down to the store and doing business with us. We've got five stores in the Denver metro area, Castle Rock, Littleton, Lakewood. You name it, we got it. We are the most aggressive tire salespeople out there. We will match any prices. We're also a full service facility. And don't forget, my dad started this business over 15 years ago, so you know we're not going anywhere. We beat all prices, we match all prices, and on top of that, we do have the best customer service. Ever since I've joined up with Tom Martino on the Troubleshooter Network, I got to tell you, folks, we are going after the bad shops out there. A lot of people don't think that's right, but I'll tell you what, I want to turn around this industry. I want to make your automotive needs easy and very affordable, and on top of that, folks, just plain right. 303-771-9800 for the location closest to you. 303-771-9800. I'm Mark Major with Aspen Goodyear.
Live, local, and left. Jay Marvin on AM 760. Progressive Talk.
Got a bottle, and a girl is just 14.
829. Is that the Lokes? Yeah. Oh, the Grateful Dead. John Turk, who runs this program, is a deadhead, so we have to be subjected to the Grateful Dead every 5 minutes.
And Al Franken wouldn't have me.
We need to get in touch with the Jam On channel. 8:50, 10 minutes away from 9 o'clock, AM 760, Progressive Talk. The progressive liberal response to immigration. Tough topic, and you can bet your bottom dollar the right is going to use this, and they already have started using it. And we better come up with something. No question. Let's go to Zoe in Greeley. Zoe, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, they were talking about dangling the carrot. Well, one of the big problems is right now they get free medical. They can get a driver's license. They put their kids in the schools, and then it brings all the CSAP scores for the schools down. And now the state's getting ready to take over Weld County schools because they don't have a good Spanish language program for the students because a third of the students don't speak English.
Well, wait a minute. Let's start with your first one. Are you advocating that they not get medical care?
Yes and no.
I mean,
they do need it.
Because what are you going to do if you got like a six-month-old baby who is the baby of an illegal immigrant and that baby becomes sick, or even a 21-year-old man who has a catastrophic illness or does something very simple like break a leg or an arm? You're going to revoke their medical coverage and allow them to suffer?
No, that's what I'm saying. It's a double-edged sword. Yes, you do take care of them, but, you know, then for other, like, Americans who they get turned away from the clinics because the clinics are tapped out on money because they spent it all on the illegals.
I wholeheartedly, completely disagree with that. First of all, if you've got something catastrophically wrong with you, hospitals are not going to tell you to get out. They're not going to turn you away. That's number one. Number two, we have a health care crisis in this country, but it has nothing to do with illegal immigrants. We spend 16% of the gross domestic product. It's the highest now that it's been since we've been keeping track of rising medical costs in this country for decades. It's higher now than it's ever been. We have a universal single-payer option here, and it has nothing to do whether we have immigrants or we don't have immigrants.
Well, I've had a lot of friends who've been turned away from the clinics or have to wait
for
two
what?
Or 3 months.
Well, what have they been turned away
medical
for?
Medical clinics.
Well, yeah, but what was the problem that they had?
Oh, like simple things like a cold.
Well, you know what? You shouldn't be going to to emergency care for a cold. I've had a cold for 2 months.
I'm not talking emergency
care. I'm not talking about emergency care either. I'm talking about emergency care is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the simple idea of having a cold. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Right, but to get, like, vaccinations, school physicals.
Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to
3 months wait.
Well, what are you going to do? You're going to have kids go to school without physicals? I mean, come on. I'm talking about emergency room situations. I'm talking about the idea that if you don't help somebody, they're going to suffer. I'm not talking about going there because you have a cold. If you have a cold, guess what? Go to the pharmacy and get Sudafed. And if that doesn't work, well, then maybe you ought to see a doctor, but it's not what you would qualify as being an emergency.
I'm not talking emergency.
Well, you brought that, but what a spurious argument to start talking about people being turned away from clinics due to head colds.
No,
and
I'm
blaming it on illegal immigrants. That's spurious.
No, what I'm talking about is clinics like Salute Clinic and those where other people in the area have to wait 3 months.
For what, ma'am? For what? What is their what's their medical problem? Maybe they shouldn't be there in the first place.
To get simple vaccinations.
Maybe they should go to their doctor for that.
They don't have the money to pay for it.
Oh, they don't have the money to go to their doctor? But then that's a health care question, which I just got into. That has nothing to do with illegal immigrants. Because I'll bet you illegal immigrants are not going to clinics and saying, gee, you know, the flu's going around this year. Can I have a flu shot? That's ridiculous.
They do. They go
in right.
when they're in mass, right?
Yeah, in mass. They flood over there and they ask for flu shots in mass. Sure. You're right. That goes on. I agree with you 100%. Not.
But I'm saying, like, some kids, like, if their kids wants to play football and stuff, there's a three-month wait sometimes to get simple school physicals so they can go and play sports.
And you want to blame that on illegal immigrants. What proof of that do you have, that there are illegal immigrants that are holding up kids from getting immunizations so they can't play sports? What proof do you have that it's illegal immigrants that are doing it?
Because I used to work in one of the clinics.
Oh, you did. And how many were there illegal immigrants as compared to other kids? And you turned other kids away because illegal immigrants needed medical care. Well, what kind of medical care? What kind of medical care did they need, ma'am?
Well, I'm saying they're wanting to get just medical care.
Well, what kind of medical care do they need? Be specific. What kind of medical care are we talking about here?
School physicals, dental.
Well, you know what? What's wrong with them wanting to get school physicals if their kids are going to go to school? What are you saying that they should be denied an education? Plus, on top of that, they should be denied health care?
What they need to do is with the education stuff, there are all the people, and it's not just, you know, Hispanic. I'm talking all the illegals. I mean, we're getting a lot from Ethiopia, Vietnam, all that, and then they're going to the system and they don't speak English.
Well, that's definitely a drawback right there, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
They need to either set up a program like one night a week or two nights a week to get English language taught so that they can turn around and understand.
Yeah, now you've jumped from the medical care situation and about, kids getting physicals to in the English language programs. Well, you know what? I disagree with you on this, and I just feel like that we're not getting the whole story out of you, but I appreciate the call and hope you'll call again. All right, let's go to Paul in Fort Collins. Paul, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hey, Jay, how are you doing today?
Hey, Paul, I'm okay. What about yourself?
I'm okay. Listen, that last call, though, kind of infuriates me. You know, it's funny that the other side, I was just kind of flipping around up here in Fort Collins. We've got this Fox radio station, and what they talked about was the porous borders, you know, how they're just, you know, right, seeping through. they don't even talk about how, like we were talking about earlier this morning, these employers being held accountable. And I mean, it wasn't even part of the conversation. And all they're talking about is trying to have these kids, when they come to school, identify whether or not English is the main language spoken in their school. And if it's not, well, then we need to identify that person so we can try to get a count on the total number of illegals. And I just don't understand that mindset, you know, where these people are here and we want to help them. And I totally agree with you. There are these people that have this incredible family strength and this sense of being, and all they want to do is have a better life. Yet all we're trying to do is say, look how much it's costing us. And I have a sister who visits Salute Clinics because she is unemployed right now. And I'll tell you, there was no way the three times I've taken her there, I don't know where this lady is getting these figures. It's kind of amazing, actually.
Well, because illegal immigrants are responsible for a large majority of society's woes, so to speak. And this whole idea, you know what? Okay, you know what? We don't educate kids of illegal immigrants, and they're here, and we don't have the money to round them up. So guess what happens to them? They can't get good jobs, and so then what ends up happening is they drift into poverty, and poverty equates crime. Thanks, man. Appreciate it, Paul. I got to run. I'm out of time. All right, the Samuel Alito nomination, Bruce Shapiro from The Nation. We'll talk about it coming up here on AM 760, Progressive Talk. And by the way, I don't think I have all the answers to illegal immigration. It's a tough subject to work out, but I do know this. We've got to go after the employers.
We've changed our website. Now you can hear the difference. Listen live to the new and improved AM 760 Progressive Talk.
God bless the internet.
Log on and hear the difference now.
AM760.net.
On AM760.net.
Thousands of people are online listening to this station and others with their computers right now. Find out how to get your message in front of this audience for as little as $2 a commercial. Call 303-713-8318. 303-713-8318.
Thermal Advantage is looking to test 100 homes for energy efficiency. All your old windows will be taken out and new windows will be installed. They must test these windows in a real home environment to prove to the public that each and every homeowner will save 50% on their energy bill, or they will reimburse you the difference. For participating when the test is complete, you will be able to keep the windows. Call Thermal Advantage today, 303-487-6880. Operators available 24 hours a day. Call today.
If you have a reserved parking space at the auto repair shop...
Hey, Pete's nameplate looks great.
Yeah, he comes in so much, this reserved parking will come in handy.
Then it's time for you to buy a new car. Visit a Denver area auto dealership today.
AM 760. Jay Marvin. Al Franken. Ed Schultz. Andy Rose. The Majority Report. And Mike Malloy. Your Progressive Station. KKCN. Thornton. Denver. Boulder.
CBS News. I'm Howard Ehrenstein, live in Washington.
A number of us have been troubled by what we see as inconsistencies in some of the answers.
Vermont's Patrick Leahy leading Democrats as questioning gets underway again at the Senate Judiciary Committee on the Supreme Court nomination of Samuel Alito. Democrat Dick Durbin went digging back in Alito's record.
It raises a question in my mind whether the average person, the dispossessed person who finally has their day in court, are going to be subject to the crushing hand of fate when it comes to your decisions.
But Alito fielded the attacks like a good lawyer, saying he has supported the underdog.
All of these cases involve what judges are supposed to do, which is to take the law and apply it to the particular facts of the case that is before them.
With no solid punches landed so far, Democrats still are hoping to connect here on day two of questioning. I'm Howard Ehrenstein, live in Washington. Other news now from Christopher Glenn.
New information suggests that the trapped West Virginia miners may have tried unsuccessfully to bulldoze their way to safety. We hear about it from CBS News correspondent Jim Crisula.
It may have been a desperate attempt to survive the Sago mine explosion. Family members of the only man to live through the 41-hour underground ordeal say they've been told that the men may have tried to use a mechanized car to dig through debris. As they were trained to do, the men barricaded themselves from toxic gases, which eventually killed 12 of the 13 trapped miners.
In eastern Kentucky yesterday, a rockfall 900 feet inside a Maverick Mining Company coal mine killed a miner who was operating a roof bolting machine. Federal officials are investigating. 135 homes and two subdivisions in the Denver suburbs evacuated when threatened by a wildfire whipped by 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts, but the residents have been allowed to return now. Jim Shires at the sheriff's office says the blaze is getting bigger.
The fire has grown overnight to about 2,700 acres, and we have 25 different firefighting agencies up here.
President Bush has issued a federal disaster declaration for the state of Oklahoma, where wildfires have charred more than 380,000 acres since the 1st of November. Bye-bye, castaways. The old 19-story off-strip hotel casino about 3 miles east of downtown Las Vegas was imploded this morning. For decades, it was known as the Showboat, but closed 2 years ago after ownership changed hands in bankruptcy court. The current owners haven't said what they intend to do with the property. This word from Sweden of the death of renowned post-World War II Wagnerian soprano Birgit Nilsson, famed for her exceptional high notes. The pastor of a church in her hometown says he held funeral services for her today, but did not know the circumstances of her death. Birgit Nilsson was 87 years old. On Wall Street right now, Dow Industrials down more than 9 points. The NASDAQ Composite is up by a tiny fraction of a point. The S&P 500 down about a point. This is CBS News.
Are you having trouble with your credit card payments? Is the stress and the pressure starting to affect your life? You don't have to do this alone. Call Debt Relief of America. They can help you eliminate up to 60% of your credit card debt. Debt Relief of America is a professional debt negotiation firm that has proven to wipe out over $5 million of credit card debt in the last year alone. You don't have to go bankrupt. You can erase your debt so interest and late fees quit piling up on you. Call Debt Relief of America today for a free, no-obligation debt consultation. Their caring, friendly consultants will answer your questions so you can begin to get your debt problem fixed. Call for your free consultation, 800-732-7092. That's 800-732-7092. You don't have to feel like you're drowning in debt. You have an army of debt negotiators on your side so you can win the battle with credit card debt. Call 800-732-7092. That's 800-732-7092.
AM 760, progressive traffic.
We are dealing with this new accident off to the shoulder eastbound Highway 36 near Broadway. Suspect some curiosity sign around that. Now, Boulder Street's actually moving along fine, starting to thin out on Furlows Parkway, the diagonal on South Boulder Road. This wildfire is still working around Rocky Flats. Highway 93 shut down, and to get around that, you can hop on Indiana now. Southbound 925 running heavy into downtown and through T-Rex. I-70 actually looking pretty good between Root Ridge and Aurora. Little sluggish around the complex because of stock show traffic. Also have a stalled van now on the ramp from Peoria onto eastbound I-70. And 225 still running heavy southbound as you head toward the tech center. Checking out the...
Mommy, send Pendleton to Radio Shack. I want the new Sprint phone by Sanyo. It comes in adorable colors like pink, black, and blue. Wait, the gentleman here wants to say something.
Now at Radio Shack, sign up for a new 2-year subscriber agreement and get a Sprint PCS Vision Phone VI2300 by Sanyo absolutely free. Don't just get a phone, get the right phone at Radio Shack.
Offer good through 12106 with credit approval. $150 early termination and $36 activation fees apply. Phones not available in all markets. Restrictions apply. See in-store materials for details.
His personal bullshit, too. Say whatever makes him look good at the moment because he can't stand being despised. His own parents have nothing good to say about him. So he'll stage a major photo op.
Major combat operations in Iraq have ended.
When they haven't.
Randy Rowe, weekdays at 4 on AM 760. Progressive Talk. This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760. Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 9:05, 5 minutes after 9, AM 760, Progressive Talk. Hi today, 61. Well, you know, no matter what you do, you get complaints. I got a guy send me an email saying, why are you putting the Alito topic off until after 9 o'clock? And it's because what we try to do here is we try to go out and get the best and most qualified guests possible. And we couldn't get Bruce Shapiro any time earlier. Also, if you missed it, because I don't know how much, you know, I've said this before, I don't know how much you're with me and when you're not with me, but this person also complained about the NSA spy scandal story, And we touched on that this morning with Lawrence Korb when we were talking about Iraq. And we talked about the Bush administration and the things revolving around Iraq and the war on terror. And one of the things we got into was the NSA spying situation, in which Lawrence Korb, who knows a lot about this and about the Defense Department, indicated quite openly that, you know what, it's illegal what went on. All right, let's go to the Nation magazine's Bruce Shapiro. He's an investigative reporter, political analyst, and the National Magazine Award finalist for Essays and Criticisms. He's also the director of the Nation Institute's Supreme Court Watch. And during the nomination of Justice Thomas, Ginsburg, and Breyer, his latest book is Shaking the Foundations, 200 Years of Investigative Journalism in America. And Bruce, welcome to AM 760. Good to have you here.
Very glad to be back here.
All right. I sat yesterday because I was homesick and watched virtually all of the hearings. I noticed in the New York Times this morning the bias in which they went to great lengths to talk about how long Joseph Biden spoke, but said nothing but said nothing about Michael DeWine, who didn't ask one question but spoke for 30 minutes in defense of this guy. And what it's coming across is that the Republicans are basically either apologetic or cheerleaders in regards to this guy's nomination.
Well, that's what they're paid for. I think the more important question, though, is what is Alito himself saying? And frankly, if I were a moderate Republican or even a libertarian conservative, I'd be alarmed by some of the things that Judge Alito said yesterday.
How can you take him seriously about answering any questions candidly when Herb Kohl of Wisconsin asks him about Bush versus Gore, or Gore versus Bush, and he says, well, I don't know. I don't know. I'd have to study the case. Where were you when this was going on?
Well, that was only one example. There were a few other answers that I think strained everyone's credulity. You know, when Senator Kennedy and then some others asked him about his boasting of membership in Concerned Alumni of Princeton, this
right.
famously racist, misogynist organization that he put on his Reagan administration job application and with pride. And he said, well, I don't really remember. I've racked my brains. I can't imagine whether I was, that I ever gave him money, and I don't really know why I joined. And then he sort of changed the subject to talk about the ROTC and the anti-military feeling on campus when he was an undergraduate. You could see eyebrows go up, and when Senator Biden raised that later, he said, I got to tell you, Judge, I went to the University of Delaware, and I heard about this group, so what, how could you not know that Bill Frist and Bill Bradley had both denounced it in the 1980s, at the very time you were boasting of membership? That was one example. His disavowal of his positions on Roe versus Wade, his attempt to distance himself from comments he'd made in support of Judge Bork, kind of shuffling and saying, well, I was just working for the administration, doing what an administration lawyer should do. Well, you can't have it both ways. Either you're a person of independent conscience and conviction, or you're a hopeless brown noser. And if you're a hopeless brown noser, that doesn't say much for, what you're going to bring to the Supreme Court. But I think if, in fact, you're a person, as he seems to be, of quite consistent conviction throughout his career, quite consistent passion for a fairly extreme view of the Constitution, that raises a whole other order of questions. And, a lot of people are saying today, well, nobody laid a glove on him. But the truth is that if you actually go back and read what he said, there were some fairly alarming statements. For example, Senator Spector, thinking he was pitching a real softball, said to Judge Alito, okay, so Griswold versus Connecticut, 1966, the Supreme Court establishes the right of privacy and allows people to have contraception. You agree with that, right? And instead of saying yes, or instead of expressing his own view of Griswold, one of the most sort of established cases in the canon, Judge Alito dodges and says, I agree that the Supreme Court in that case found a liberty interest, blah, 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 blah. He analyzes the case rather than answering Spector directly. If I were Arlen Spector, I'd be very concerned by that kind of an answer.
Seems to me, though, he was doing that a lot yesterday. He slips the question by not giving a direct answer and by giving some other rationale or going some other place. And I agree with you about the Princeton thing. How can you not remember being a member of an organization?
Well, someone might ask Judge Alito that today. You know, I think he's trying to lower the temperature. He kept trying to normalize his own biographical choices, his own political positions, and his own and his rulings. And that, you know, we can go back to this. You know, the hearings are actually serving a different function here than with any other nominee in my memory. most of the people who've become Supreme Court justices in the last 20, 25 years have been people with a public record, but with limited experience on the bench, and so the hearings are a chance to tease out their constitutional philosophy. In this case, we have a guy, a judge, with 16 years as a federal appeals court judge, hundreds of rulings, and there are clear, consistent patterns in those rulings that in this case, I think the hearings are serving to obscure rather than elucidate. I was reading yesterday a very interesting study by a group of professors and students from Judge Alito's alma mater, Yale Law School. And these professors and students looked at hundreds of cases and concluded that if you look at his rulings, and then if you look at his 1985 statements, which he now is distancing himself from, about Roe, about the Warren Court, about civil rights, all these sorts of things, that whenever Judge Alito has had the opportunity as an appeals court judge, say these analysts from Yale Law School, he has sought to advance that agenda over the course of his career as a judge. In other words, the statements of the 35-year-old government lawyer in 1985 embracing a fairly extreme notion of the Constitution are fully consistent with the opinions and dissents over the last 15 years of Judge Alito's Supreme Court nominee. And what's more, as Senator Schumer pointed out yesterday, he was really the only Democrat to do. If you go back and read Judge Alito's rulings and then look at what other judges and even the Supreme Court have said to them about them, you find a guy who has very little respect for precedent, who is repeatedly criticized by fellow Republican-appointed judges for taking extreme views at odds with the Supreme Court and the whole court system's precedents on important matters of executive branch authority, congressional power, regulation of women's rights issues, and civil rights. This is an extreme nominee, and my fear is that these hearings are actually covering that up, covering up the record, rather than clarifying and elucidating the record.
9:14, 14 minutes after 9 a.m., 760 Progressive Talk. Bruce Shapiro, Nation Magazine. We're talking about the Alito nomination. Sidebar to this, what do you make of the Wall Street Journal report that Lindsey Graham was involved in prepping this guy?
I find it shocking. I find it shocking that a senator of Lindsey Graham's integrity, which he has shown repeatedly on the question of treatment of Guantanamo detainees and so on, and on the torture amendment, that he would put himself in such a position of ethical conflict. I find it shocking that when Senator Graham questioned Judge Alito yesterday, he didn't acknowledge this. I find it very troubling that the nominee and the White House would attempt to rope a senator into this position. I find this a very troubling episode, and it's a real blot on Senator Graham's career. And it actually makes you want to go back to answer another question, which Senator Feingold asked yesterday, and which the judge evaded. Senator Feingold asked, Judge, who was involved in prepping you for these hearings? And I think, actually, when Feingold asked that question, he was trying to find out if the Vice President, the Attorney General, if Justice Department officials with a direct stake in some of the questions about executive branch authority were directing Alito's answers. But to learn that a sitting United States senator on the very committee that's supposed to be independently assessing his fitness for the Supreme Court was involved in briefing him is unprecedented and shocking.
Then the other thing is, which the New York Times talks about this morning in its op-ed piece about about the whole Alito hearings, that they're going to bring in judges to talk about how good this guy is? Isn't that a violation of judicial canons to do that? Aren't, judges are not supposed to do that, right?
Well, judges are, it's fairly routine for, let's say, the American Bar Association to interview the colleagues of a Supreme Court nominee to assess how she or he is viewed. And if judges, in this case, the question is an ethical one. Was it right for him to sit on a case involving a mutual fund, Vanguard Mutual Fund,
right,
in which he holds substantial investments in which he previously had promised to recuse himself from? And, you know, all these judges are going to line up and say, oh, he's an ethical guy, and I probably would have done the same thing. I think, actually, it's not so much a violation of the judicial canon for one judge to speak to the ethical fitness of another judge. It is, I would say, hardly credible that when you've got judges who are going, who have to either sit on the bench with this guy for the rest of their lives if he stays in the appeals court, or who are going to be writing opinions that he's going to be reviewing as a Supreme Court justice, it kind of takes away a lot of the credibility. And what's more, it doesn't actually go to the question that Senator Kennedy was framing yesterday, which was not, is it some abstract violation of the judicial code that you ruled this case in which you had an investment, but rather you explicitly promised in your confirmation hearing in 1990 to the appeals court, you explicitly cited this fund in which you had investments, you explicitly said that you would not sit on any cases, why weren't you paying attention, what happened? He gave a not especially believable answer about computer errors, and then finally when pressed by Senator Feingold later on said, well, I think this was my oversight. But, you know, I don't think it speaks well. I don't think it's a particularly useful articulator of a useful analysis to have a bunch of judges come up and say he's a great guy and he's honest. The issue is really the pattern of extremity in his views, patterns of extremity about executive power, patterns of extremity in overruling congressional statutes asserting civil rights and other powers, his extremity on supporting intrusion into zones of privacy, intrusion by supporting spousal notification in abortion cases, which Justice O'Connor and the rest of the Supreme Court felt was a profound invasion of privacy, intrusion in supporting warrantless surveillance by the FBI in a case just last year, intrusion in supporting the broadest possible interpretation of a search warrant, which allowed allowed for the strip searching of a 10-year-old girl. This is a shocking and extreme view of the Constitution that I think not all the senators are fully grasping. And Alito himself, who has a rather appealing civics class demeanor, is managing to obscure.
The end result is he'll make it, won't he?
That's not a given.
Really? You don't think it's a given?
No, I don't think it's a given. First of all, I think there is a real possibility that the Democratic caucus will show unity in this matter. There are a few Democrats, part of that gang of 14, who are pledged to avoid filibusters, except in extreme cases. And I think there's reason to think that some of them, like Senator Lieberman, may decide, if you look carefully at the record, that this individual's view of the Constitution is extreme, especially because other judges keep saying so. And extreme circumstances warrants a filibuster. I think it's also possible that some moderate Republicans, like Senator Specter, like Olympia Snowe, like Susan Collins, a few others, are going to be put in a difficult position by this nominee's avowed disdain for Roe versus Wade, his avowed anti-choice position of years past, which matches up with his willingness to gut abortion rights as an appeals judge, using every opportunity he can to rein in and limit it. I mean, I think that's that combined with alarm about, you know, executive branch overreaching in the NSA wiretap case could alarm some independent-minded Republicans, even libertarian conservatives, who are looking to distance themselves somewhat from a White House that everyone knows is in trouble. I would not assume that the game is over, and indeed I think it's very important that the public understand that there is a real debate to be had over this nominee's extreme views.
Yeah, his whole answer yesterday about when he was talking, when they were talking about presidential powers and executive power, and that whole thing about the Twilight Zone or being in the twilight.
Well, what you know, there's this famous statement by Justice Jackson, this famous analysis when President Truman during the Korean War tried to take over the steel industry, and
right.
Justice Jackson said, "No, you can't do it, and why can't you do it?" And had this very elaborate set of reasoning, but it ended up with when the president tries to exert executive authority in the absence of congressional backing, that in fact is when the president's constitutional power is at its weakest. And Alito kept talking about this as a twilight zone. What he didn't say is that both as a government lawyer, but then again as a judge over the last few years, he has repeatedly led us into that twilight zone and has encouraged the executive branch to act in a truly expansive way. That's, I think, the real agenda that the Bush administration has here. That more than social conservatism is why the administration backed him to replace Harry Meyers as the Supreme Court nominee.
All right, Bruce, as always, it's a real pleasure. And you know what? I'm taking your word for it. Hopefully this guy won't make it, or at least the Democrats and some libertarian Republicans and some moderate Republicans will put up some degree of a struggle to try to stop this guy.
Well, this is not over yet, and there will be more to talk about in the coming days.
Well, we'd love to have you back on again. Bruce, thank you so much.
Glad to be here.
All right. There's Bruce Shapiro of The Nation magazine, and we'll open the phones now, 303-713-7600. Anything you want to talk about, including the Alito nomination, feel free to do so. Whatever, you want to go back to immigration, you want to talk about the conflict between Iran with nuclear weapons, or developing nuclear weapons, and Israel, the story out this morning in the UK about attacks that Israel could launch as late as March. Whatever it is, 303-713-7600, 923. Good morning. Good to have you along. Jay Marvin, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
AM 760, Progressive Traffic.
We are dealing with this crash off to the shoulder, eastbound on the turnpike right around Broadway, so expect a little curiosity slowing there. Now, Boulder Streets themselves actually looking pretty good, thinning out on Foothills Parkway and the diagonal South Boulder Road moved along fine, and this wildfire near Rocky Flats still causing some problems this morning. Highway 93 and 72, they're closed through traffic. To get around that, you can hop on Indiana. Now, southbound 925, running heavy into downtown and through T-Rex. I-70 looking good from Wheat Ridge over to Aurora. A little crowded around the complex, that's because of the stock show, and we have the stalled van. It's on the ramp from Peoria onto eastbound I-70. Now 225 slow southbound heading into the tech center and checking out the forecast. Mix of sun and clouds today. Warmer. Highs in the 60s. We're at 54 degrees now. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Toyota owners, keep your Toyota running great. Take advantage of your local Denver Metro Toyota Service Center's lube, oil, and filter service and receive a complimentary tire rotation and 19-point inspection, all for just $29.95. Don't miss this great deal from Toyota. Hurry, offer ends January 31st.
People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, the LASIK Vision Institute is now offering dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK, the latest FDA-approved technology for a fraction of what other providers charge. You can even finance it with 0% financing. Get a free information kit by calling 1-800-700-5075. That's 1-800-700-5075. 1-800-700-5075.
925, 25 minutes after 9, AM 760. Progressive Talk, Jay Marvin here. You know what? There are sure no bets in life. Nothing is sure, or nothing is 100%. Anything that has to do with man just isn't 100%. But I'll give you something that's 99.99%, and that's Rocky's Autos. How do I know? Because I have large experience with them, both knowing them personally and also buying automobiles from them. They are the home for the cleanest late model used cars, trucks, minivans, vans, and SUVs in Colorado, and good people working at Rocky's who are out to try to do the best job they possibly can for you and to please you. Now, you can check out the inventory of Rocky's Autos by simply going to rockysautos.com or get on down to Rocky's located at the corner of 63rd and Federal, just north of I-76 and just south of Boulder Turnpike, and see for yourself. Over 500 vehicles on the lot. Every one of those vehicles checked out, every one equipped with a worry-free protection program for pre-owned vehicles from United Car Care, 30 days or 3,000 miles of powertrain protection. May I recommend some people to see at Rocky's? See my friend the Alshire brothers, also Spanky, and Colby. They're good people, and they're there to help you. And Rocky's sales staff, you know what? They're knowledgeable, and they're there to make sure that you get the automobile that you want, that the vehicle that you want fits your needs and also fits your budget. They've been family-owned and operated since 1982. They're open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Rocky's Autos, located at the corner of 63rd and Federal, just north of I-76, just south of the Boulder Turnpike. Good people to buy from.
It's amazing how you'll lose weight and keep it off or stop smoking once and for all using hypnosis. No pills, no patches, just success. John Morgan Seminars presents world-renowned hypnotherapist Doug O'Brien at Red Lion, Denver Central, Quebec Street, Tuesday, January 17th. Smoking cessation is at 6 p.m., weight loss at 8 p.m. Call 800-735-6907 to reserve your space. Sessions are affordable at $59.95. Experts agree hypnotherapy is the best choice for permanent results. John Morgan Seminars have helped over 100,000 people. Call 800-735-6907.
Do you really know your past, the history behind your family, and who you are? In less than 5 minutes, we can help you start to find out. At Ancestry, we help millions of people just like you connect their family roots from the recent past to 10 generations or more. We're so sure that we can find your family history, we'll send you a free report with fascinating facts on your family name at no cost to you. Call 1-800-300-3414. That's 1-800-300-3414. 1-800-300-3414.
It's Jay Marvin on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
After 9 a.m. 760, Progressive Talk, Jay Marvin along with you. 303-713-7600, open phones. There's a lot of other stories that we didn't get to. And once again, you know, that I mean, I get these emails. Why didn't you cover this? Why didn't you cover that? Because we only got 4 hours, and a lot of times we just can't get to all of them. And a lot of times it's covered by what guests we can get. And we do our best to go out and get the best guests we can, like Bruce Shapiro of The Nation. Do we have that cut of Alito dodging that question? Listen to this about Samuel Alito. Listen to him.
Last question. Judge Alito, I understand that you're reluctant to comment on cases that you would likely have coming before you in the future. But I'd like to ask you a question about a case that the Supreme Court certainly will never see again, 2000 presidential election contest between President Bush, Vice President Gore. Many commentators see the Bush v. Gore decision as an example of judicial activism. An example of the judiciary improperly injecting itself into a political dispute. Indeed, it appears to many of us who've looked at your record that Bush v. Gore seems contrary to so many of the principles that you stand for, that the president has said you stand for when making your nomination. Talking about judicial restraint, not legislating from the bench, and of course respecting the rights of the states. So, Judge Alito, I'd like to ask you, was the Supreme Court correct to take this case in the first place?
Well, Senator, I think you're probably right, and I hope you're right, that sort of issue doesn't come before the Supreme Court. Again, some of the equal protection ground that the majority relied on in Bush versus Gore does involve principles that could come up in future elections and in future cases. But as to that particular case, my answer has to be, I really don't know. I have not studied it in the way I would study a case that comes before me as a judge, and I would have to go through the whole judicial process.
That was a huge, huge case, and I would like to hope, and I would bet that you thought about it an awful lot, because you are who you are. And I would like for you to give an opinion from the convictions of your heart. As a person who is very restrained with respect to judicial activism, this being a case of extreme judicial activism, were they correct in taking this case, in your opinion?
Well, there's the issue of whether they should have taken it and the issue of how it should be decided. And, Senator, my honest answer is I have not studied it in the way I would study the issue if it were to come before me as a judge, and that would require putting out of my mind any personal thoughts that I had on the matter and thinking about listening to all the arguments and reading the briefs and thinking about it in the way that I decide in the way that I do when I decide legal issues that are before me as a judge. And that's the best answer I can give you to that question. It was obviously a very important and difficult and controversial case. And in a situation like that, the obligation of a judge all the more is to be restrained and not to, is to go through this, the judicial decision-making process, and only at the end of that reach a conclusion about the issue.
Now, do you believe him? Do you believe him? That's, you know, dodges the answer. Doesn't give the correct answer. He can't, you know, what would be the correct answer? Either he would get involved, he does feel it's okay, or he doesn't feel it's okay. Which one is it? But you don't get a direct answer from him. And he did that all afternoon while I watched yesterday afternoon. He's very slick. He's very lawyerish. And he just slipped all of the questions that were asked of him and answered very few of them directly. All right, open phones underway at 303-713-7600, whether it's Alito or what else, whatever else you want to talk about. And I got some news stories, too, by the way, that I've been hanging on from this morning, and I want to reel those off to you as well. Three open lines at 371-370-600, 932, AM 760, Progressive Talk. Jay Marvin, good to have you along.
AM 760, Progressive Traffic.
Old Foothills Parkway, the diagonal and South Old Road, they're all thinning out as we look good around town. The Turnpike pushing top speeds through Broomfield and Westminster, and still dealing with this wildfire near Rocky Flats. Best way to get around that is to hop on Indiana, because Highway 93 and 72 still shut down to through traffic now. I-25 still a little sluggish in both directions into downtown and through T-Rex. I-70 slows near the complex because of the stock show, and looking at brake lights up on 225 if you're headed toward the tech center. Checking the forecast, expect a mix of sun and clouds today. Highs in the 60s, we're at 54 degrees now. I'm Bailey, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Change more than your resume. DU offers bachelor's degrees for working professionals that can open a lifetime of opportunities, weekends, evenings, and online. adultundergrad.du.edu. That's adultundergrad.du.edu.
We've changed our website. Now you can hear the difference. Listen live to the new and improved AM 760 Progressive Talk.
God bless the internet.
Log on and hear the difference now.
AM760.net.
On AM760.net.
If you were shocked at your last energy bill, here's a tip. Put the Regency Bristol window in your home. Hi, I'm Dave Logan. The Bristol window uses state-of-the-art engineering to keep the heat out in the summer and the heat inside in the winter. And they're beautiful to look at. Register online to win a house full of windows absolutely free at bristolwindows.com or call Regency at 303-233-0833.
Admit it. Right after Christmas, sometimes there's a little bit of a letdown. Maybe you just want the holidays to keep going, or maybe you didn't get quite what you were hoping for. Well, at Gander Mountain, we've got the cure for any case of post-holiday blues. It's the winter clearance, with savings of up to 50% off Gander Mountain's everyday low prices. Get 30 to 50% off men's and women's sportswear and outerwear. 25 to 50% off camo and blaze outerwear and accessories. Plus, during the Gander Mountain winter clearance, you can get an additional 10% off all clearance firearms. You can even get 40% off all in-stock tree stands. So hurry into Gander Mountain and get those things you didn't find under your tree. Or just get yourself a big head start on spring. But while winter clearance at Gander Mountain will be going on through the end of January, you need to hurry in now for the best selection. Hey, there's no letdown here. Just lower prices. Gander Mountain. We live outdoors.
Men, this message is brought to you by the Essential Group. Are you waking at all hours? It can be frustrating, especially if it happens frequently. This can be a sign of a condition called BPH, or enlarged prostate. If you're experiencing this symptom, you're not alone. Many men experience this bothersome issue. BPH is a real medical diagnosis that can typically be treated. Currently, physicians are conducting a BPH research study specifically for men over 50, and you may qualify. Just call toll-free 1-866-77-STUDY for more information. Qualified participants will receive all study-related care, including doctor visits, laboratory services, and investigational study medication. If you're experiencing the bothersome symptoms of BPH or enlarged prostate, call the Essential Group at 1-866-77-STUDY. That's 866-77-STUDY. Once again, the number is toll-free, 1-866-77-STUDY. The first step is your call.
Sticking it to righties everywhere. J. Marvin, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 9:36, 24 minutes in front of 10 o'clock. High today. What is the high today? 62. I'm sorry, 61 under partly sunny skies. 303-713-7600, open phones here. I got three lines open to talk about anything you want to talk about, anything we've covered this morning, or anything that just may be out there percolating that you don't think we've covered that you want to talk about. Let's go to the phones, and we'll go to Malcolm in Boulder. Malcolm, you're on AM 760. Good morning. Hey, Malcolm. Malcolm? No? Gone. All right, let's go to Jim in Denver. Jim, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hi, Jay. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. What about yourself?
I'm doing fine. I have this idea. I think the best thing that could happen for the Democrats would be for Alito to get confirmed, to overturn Roe v. Wade and send it back to the states. So each state would have to set their own abortion rules. I think if you really examine the consequences of that happening, there would be a wave of pro-choice Democrats that would come into all the state legislatures, probably into governorships. All the security moms that take their right to choose for granted, that deserted Kerry and voted for Bush, will be driven right the hell out of that Republican Party.
Well, that's a pretty radical way to get there. I'm not so sure I agree with that. I don't think that overturning Roe versus Wade or Griswold and Casey or any of those kind of stuff. I don't think that that's the best way to go. And you know what you do? You particularly would set up situations where in certain states, abortion would be, a woman's right to choose would be totally and completely illegal. So they would have to go to other states, and then you get into a situation where only people with money could afford to take that time off and go to another state or another country to get it done. And the poor would inherently suffer over that because they would have to go to back alleys. For instance, you're never going to get You would never get states like Alabama, Kansas, Oklahoma, other parts of the South, Mississippi. You would never get those places to ever decide to honor a woman's right to choose. It just wouldn't happen. Utah would be another one. I mean, any of those states, and there are probably more out there that I just haven't named them or can't think of them, those states would never go along with that. So you'd set up an unequal process. And you know what? And that's one of the things, that's one of the reasons why the whole idea of overturning Roe versus Wade doesn't put an end to the idea of abortion. It won't put an end to it because those people in this society, women in this society, who have means and money, we'll just go somewhere else to get it done. We'll just go to a foreign country to get it done. The poor and the lower middle class will have to go to a back alley to get under unsafe conditions.
Jay, I, with all due respect, I think, bus tickets are pretty cheap. I mean, it's not for $40, you can go from Kansas to Denver.
Yeah, but you got to pay for the procedure. It's not covered by health care costs. I mean, you have a lot of things... mounted in there that you're not adding up. And a lot of women, particularly working women, a lot of working, poor, they can't go to their employer and say, well, I need 3, 4, 5 days. I got to have 5 days off. Well, what do you need 5 days off for? Well, because I got to go have a medical procedure. Well, what kind of medical procedure are you going to have? And then you got to tell them you're going to go have an abortion? I just don't think that's going to work. And I think you have a lot of places where, Then you start getting into the whole thing. Okay, is this a medical type thing that's covered under sick leave? Yes or no? You'd have lawsuits. I just don't think it's the way to go. I just think it's not the way to go.
pro-choice is a 60-40. People are in favor of across the nation by a measure of 60 to 40.
It's still that, you know what, I still would lay money on you. I would lay money that in places like Oklahoma, places like Mississippi, places like Alabama, that it would never, ever, ever, it would never be legalized. It would never happen. Because those legislatures are all dominated by social conservatives and conservatives. Go look at who's look at Oklahoma senators. Look at where do you think Tom Coburn comes from?
I agree with you, Jay, that there would be some states where it would never happen, but there would be it would create such an uproar. It would re-energize feminism.
You know what? There's got to be a better way to get there to re-energize people than to take away the fundamental right of a woman to choose. It's just too radical of a solution. But I appreciate the call, Jim. Thank you. If anybody thinks Jim's right, 303-713-7600, I just see it as being too radical of a solution. I think a woman in this country does have an inherent right to choose, and the federal government has no right to start getting into that. As much as, these conservatives are always talking about less government, the neocons always talk about less government, but man, you know what, when it comes to surveillance, when it comes to peeking into your personal life, when it comes to knowing your medical records, which John Ashcroft tried to subpoena at one point when he was part of the Bush administration, when it comes to all that kind of stuff, man, these people never met a case of privacy they didn't want to knock down, except when it comes to a woman's right to choose. And then, of course, after the baby's born, then they want to go cut social services because they could give a damn about the kid. Just go look at the latest budget passed by the House of Representatives. 303-713-70, 942, 18 minutes in front of 10, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
AM 760, Progressive Traffic.
In pretty good shape on the drive around Denver. Still a little slow southbound I-25 between downtown and the Tech Center, but northbound looks pretty good coming out of the Tech Center, heading to the downtown area. Looks good on I-70 on both sides of the city. 2 1/4 looks good across Aurora. No problems on the turnpike to and from Boulder. South Boulder, though, we still have that closure on Highway 93 due to that nearby wildfire there. We'll let you know when it gets opened back up. As far as the weather goes for today, partly cloudy, rather windy in the foothills, but warm, highs in the mid-60s. Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 32. Some changes on the way tomorrow. Cloudy, windy, cool, maybe a flurry or two, and a high in the mid-40s. Right, 57 degrees. Rick Morgan, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Todd Helton says take the freeway to Freeway 4 and right now get a load of 03 Explorer for just $13.9. Selling new and used SUVs and pickups faster for thousands less is how they survive T-Rex. Get your load of 03 Explorer today for just $13.9. Freeway 4 to I-25 in Evans or at cheaperforge.com.
Do you really know your past, the history behind your family, and who you are? In less than 5 minutes, we can help you start to find out. At Ancestry, we help millions of people just like you connect with their family roots, from the recent past to 10 generations or more. We're so sure that we can find your family history, we'll send you a free report with fascinating facts on your family name at no cost to you. Call 1-800-300-3414. That's 1-800-300-3414. 1-800-300-3414.
9:44, 16 minutes in front of 10 on AM 760, Progressive Talk. Hey, did you know that nearly 100% of Superior Carpet Care's customers have them back to clean their carpets and air ducts again? That's an incredible endorsement from satisfied customers. Mary and I use Superior, and, you know, we're going to move, so we're going to have the house over running. We're going to have it cleaned up. And you know who we're going to call? Superior Carpet Care, because it's simple. When Superior cleans your carpet, it stays cleaner longer, spots don't reappear, and you know you're getting a great value. And when they clean your air ducts, they do it right. They offer the best value, too. Superior Carpet Care will clean 3 rooms in a hallway in your home for only $125. You heard that right, just $125 to clean 3 rooms and a hallway. So no matter who you've used before, call Superior Carpet Care. You'll see the difference in your carpet care, in your carpet, and you'll breathe the difference in your home. You'll always have them back. Air ducts or carpets, man. These are the people to do it. Superior Carpet Care. And for $125 for 3 rooms and a hallway, you just can't beat the price to go along with their superior work. Need your carpets or air ducts clean? Take my recommendation. Take Mary's recommendation. Take our recommendation. Call Superior Carpet Care, 303-933-3000. That's 303-933-3000. And tell them the Marvin family sent you.
Don't procrastinate. Call the Mortgage Store right now at 303-423-7171 and start saving money today. It's fast, it's easy, and they're open evenings and weekends. The Mortgage Store, 303.
Spyware, viruses. This is John Hogan with PC Answers. Take control of spyware and viruses. Call PC Answers to exterminate them. 303-548-1414. That's 303-548-1414.
This is Randy Rhodes. I'm coming up this afternoon, and right now you got Jay Marvin right here on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 9:46, 14 minutes away from 10 o'clock. High today, 61, under mostly sunny skies. Or you can say partly sunny. You know, you want to be positive, you say mostly sunny. Open phones underway, 303-713-7600. And it's good to have you back here. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to David in Castle Rock. David, you're on AM 760. Good morning. Dave, you there? Are we having another one of these deals with the phones? What's the issue here on one? Let me try it again. David! No? Gone. And that's twice now that line one has done that. I don't understand what the issue is behind that. By the way, you know, somebody sent me an email asking about what's going on with the NSA. Representative John Conyers, who's a Democrat from Michigan, I want to get this story in here. Bobby Scott, who's also a Democrat from Virginia, and Chris Van Hollen, who's a Democrat from Maryland, will hold Democratic hearings next Friday to consider the legal ramification of President Bush's warrantless surveillance on international calls. The January 20th Democratic hearings come in the wake of a request from House Judiciary Committee Democrats to hold official congressional hearings on the matter. The Republican chairman, Representative James Sensenbrenner, has not responded to Democrats' requests. Of course, naturally, he's covering for the White House. Conyers, the ranking Democrat on the Judiciary Committee, said he felt the need to hold his own hearings after his Republican counterparts demurred. So we'll see what they come up with. I don't know about you, but I think what the president did is clearly illegal. By the way, NSA documents show a massive spy operation on Baltimore peace groups. The National Security Agency has been spying on a Baltimore anti-war group, according to documents released during litigation, going so far as to document the infiltrating of protesters' balloons and intended inflating of protesters' balloons. And intended to deploy units trained to detect weapons of mass destruction. According to the documents, the Pledge of Resistance Baltimore has been monitored by the NSA, working with the Baltimore Intelligence Unit, part of the Baltimore City Police Department. The documents which follow came as a result of litigation back in August 2003, trial of Marilyn Carlisle and Cindy Farcour. An NSA security official provided the defendants with a redacted action plan and a redacted copy of the Joint Terrorism Task Force email about the activities of Pledge Resistance. See, you know, and Bush stands up there and tells us this stuff's limited, okay? Another example of this guy lying. Let's go to Lori in Arapahoe County. Lori, hi, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hey, Jay.
Hi, Lori.
I finally have the right idea now to protect a woman's right to choose after listening to the immigration rights things and the way the Republicans want to protect corporate America. We just need to get the insurance companies to lobby that it costs them less to provide for medical procedures than to take care of people after they've had an illegal abortion.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Very good point.
Thanks.
All right, thanks, Lori.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Let's go back to Dave in Castle Rock. Dave, hi, you're on AM 760. You there?
Jay, good morning. How are you?
Oh, David, I thought we lost you.
No problem. First of all, I enjoy your show. You do a good job.
Thank you.
It's a well-produced show.
Thanks.
Jay, I'm a pro-life Democrat, and I disagree with you on abortion. But I agree with you on most other issues. And there was an interesting article.
Wait a minute. Let me ask, how do you disagree with me on abortion?
On abortion? Well, you know, first of all, I believe in the separation of church and state. And I believe that abortion should be illegal unless the woman was raped, a victim of incest. But other than that, Jay, I believe that the birth control methods that exist today are widely available for free. The birth control pill, you can be poor, you can still be able to get birth control for almost for free in the United States as it is today. So really, you know, I can't see why abortion should be used as a birth control method.
I don't think that's a central issue. I think most people believe that abortion should be rare, but should be legal.
Right.
And the idea is it's more than, you know, it's more than just the term using an abortion. It's a term of a woman's right to choose, a woman's right to choose, and her family's right to choose about her own individual health care, as having, instead of having it legislated and controlled by the federal government.
And Jay, you make a valid point when you say that, and I respect your opinion. My counter to that is this. How many abortions were there last year, or I think it was 2 years ago, the last figures came out in the United States? I believe it was about 9 million.
Yeah, they're going down, as a matter of fact.
But 9 million is, it sounds like a correct figure. Correct me if I'm wrong.
You know, I don't know. All I know is that year after year, the amount of abortions performed in the United States are shrinking.
And that's because birth control, there's more access to birth control.
Well, and also because of education.
And also of education. So you would agree with me that the people who are having these abortions did not take proper steps, okay?
No, I don't agree with that because I don't know. You'd have, you know, I hate to sound like Judge Alito, but you'd have to give me an individual example because I don't know, because I can't, you know, I can't speak for the majority of people who are involved in that any more than senators like Jeff Sessions yesterday in Alabama talks about, the majority of Americans believe that the court is so-and-so. You know what? How the hell does he know what the majority of Americans believe? Has he sat down and talked to every American? Has he got any polls to indicate that? I mean, I'm not trying to get off on a rant and rave here, but you know what? I don't know what those people were involved in. I don't know what the circumstances are, and I think it's unfair to say that you do know.
And Jay, I agree with you. I respect your opinion, but when you talk to someone who's pro-life like myself, the reason why I'm pro-life is because I just believe it is a harsh consequence for the child that 9 million children don't get to be born. But I respect your opinion because the way you frame your argument, it is convincing. I don't agree with it, Jay, but people who are pro-life just believe that it's a awfully tough sanction that just because, you know, proper birth control methods were not done before.
You know what? You don't know. First of all, you know what? You don't know that because you don't have any proof. That's number one.
Okay.
And number two, then we're going to start to get into a whole debate here about when life begins. And the fact is that all of these things about when life begins, the use of birth control, the situation in which pregnancies happen, all of these things and the medical decisions that women make and their families make is something that the federal government has no business being involved in. They have no business dictating to a woman her own personal health care choices.
Right. And I see what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. The reason why I disagree with it is that as a Christian, and there are a lot of, and I respect everyone's opinion, but the reason why I am pro-life is because I believe that life starts at conception.
All right, but what do you do about somebody who doesn't believe that, or somebody who doesn't feel that standard applies? So then, because of your religious conviction that you believe that life begins at conception, then you want to turn around and you want to use the machinery of the federal government to enforce your viewpoint. That's inherently unfair, right there.
Well, Jay, you make a good point. That is a very tough issue to resolve because you can't force someone to believe in a certain belief. But you also have to let them know that, gosh, just because you didn't practice.
No, don't start with the don't practice. You know what? Look, I respect your opinion. And I want to respectfully point out to you once again that you do not know what has gone on with those women who have sought to terminate pregnancy. You do not have any proof that there was no birth control used. You don't have any proof what the circumstances are unless you go and look at each individual case. You have to do that. You can't make broad brush assumptions. It's not fair.
Well, let's just say then a study was done then to examine that, an unbiased
study.
Well,
then, all right, then what study?
A nonpartisan study.
Well, then what studies? Point it out to me.
No, I'm saying, let's say if one does get done, okay, how, and it pointed out that some were unplanned due. I agree with you. You don't know why, but I can say reasonably, and it's a reasonable assertion, that we could say infer that at least 60%, and that would not be...
No, we cannot, we cannot infer that at least 60%. We cannot infer anything like that because we don't know. And even if they didn't use birth control, even if it was an accident and something happened, once again, you get back to the central point that, you know something, the federal government should not be involved in any way, shape, or form in choosing... In dictating a woman's right to their own medical health care, their own right to choose, and because it's your religious belief, which I honor, but you know what? In this country where the separation of church and state is increasingly being battered, you know what? You can't use the machinery of the federal government to enforce your religious beliefs.
But you okay, and I agree with you on that. The federal government should not enforce religious beliefs. All I'm saying is that the end abortion prevents a life from being born, and that is pretty tough to swallow.
Well, I don't agree with that. It depends on what your definition of when life begins. There is no universal standard, and the federal government doesn't, you know, should once. I mean, I keep going back to the same thing. I mean, you and I are not going to agree on this, and I think you're making a lot. You know what? I think you're well intentioned, but I think you're making a lot of assumptions. For instance, the assumption you keep making all the time that women who are pregnant, you know, that they didn't use birth control. I mean, how do you know? You know, you don't know. And you keep bringing that back time and time again. And you know what? You have a right to your religious beliefs. You have a right to your feelings about when life begins. You have a right to all of that stuff. And you know something? I don't have the right to go into your household and tell your wife how to conduct herself or tell you in that manner, just like you don't have the right to tell me. And I won't accept you doing it. Now, you know what? If a woman came to me and asked me about it, I would counsel her against it, but I certainly would not use the federal government to intervene, and you have the right to have the federal government intervene. That's wrong.
Well, I mean, you and I disagree, you know, but just to let you know, I'm also against the death penalty as well. And, you know, I respect your opinion. You have a very good show. And just know that pro-life Democrats, and I consider myself a conservative, but a Democrat at the end of the day, that's the reason why we're pro-life, but I respect your opinions as to why you're pro-choice.
Well, you know what? Pro-life people should be welcome in the Democratic Party, just as pro-life, pro-choice people should be. So there's no problem, and I hope you'll call me again.
Take care, Jay.
All right. That's it for this morning. Back tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. here, AM 760, Progressive Talk.